KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says that was no wedding party American forces attacked yesterday in western Iraq.
The ground force that swept through the objective found a significant amount of material and intelligence which validated that attack. And we are satisfied at this point that the intelligence that led us there was validated by what we found on the ground. And it was not that there was a wedding party going on.
At least 40 people were reported killed in what Kimmett says was a raid on a compound that held rebels. He says there will be an investigation. President Bush's campaign is still breaking fundraising records. The latest numbers give him about $204 million. Challenger John Kerry has raised an estimated $117 million so far. Another indication the American economy is finding its footing. The index of leading economic indicators rose 0.1% last month. There's some worry, though, about the effect of rising gasoline prices on the economy. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Hey, son, how's it going?
Pretty good, I guess.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound so good. What's wrong?
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I was looking forward to 3 days off.
Yeah?
But my manager just called, and he wants me to work on Monday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So while you enjoy your day off, I'll be bagging groceries at the store.
Well, son, we can still have fun.
How?
Well, I'm gonna grill some great-tasting steaks, right?
Yeah.
So I'll come to the store. I'll get some Kingsford charcoal, and you can bag my groceries. Yes, that's it. It'll be fun.
Memorial Day is here, and it's time to break out the barbecue. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll get the summer started right, which will make any day a day to remember. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 71 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A strange incident at Coors Field last month is now being investigated as a homicide. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Truck dropped a load of sand on both directions of I-25 near Highway 66 up near Meade. CDOT crews are on the scene trying to scoop up the sand, but it's causing lots of congestion, according to a listener. Another spilled load caused yet another problem. Northbound I-25 at the Founders Parkway exit in Castle Rock. State Patrol officials on the scene cleaning that one up. Everything else in the freeway system around town moving along in good shape. Hampton and Monaco watch for an injury accident. Can't count on the guy in front of you to use a turn signal, but you can count on Liquid Plumber to clear the toughest clogged drains. Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A 69-year-old Centennial woman was pricked by an unknown object when she was leaving Coors Field in April. The woman reported the incident to police and several days later was taken to the hospital where she died. Police are now looking into that death as a homicide. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. The mother of a man who was taken hostage in Iraq recently has flown to Jordan hoping for news of her son. Aban Ilyas, who spent many years in Denver, was taken hostage 2.5 weeks ago. His brother says they haven't gotten word on the man's condition lately. Congressman Tom Tancredo wants to get back some of the money that's been flowing out of the United States to countries south of the border. Tancredo wants to tax money being sent to those countries by people working in the United States. A report says that each year $30 billion goes to those countries. In sports, the Colorado Rockies wrap up their 3-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Last night's game went to the 10th, with the Reds outlasting the Rocks 4-3. Quest Choice Business, your business line, plus any 5 features for just $39.99 a month. Over 100,000 small businesses have already signed up for Quest Choice Business. Shouldn't you? Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Businesses know it. Employers love it.
How valuable is a graduate degree from the Daniels College of Business?
When I graduated, I knew I could accomplish anything.
Graduates from the Daniels College of Business at the University of Denver are in higher demand than ever because Daniels is the only Colorado graduate degree program ranked by the Wall Street Journal as one of the world's best.
Having the Daniels name behind you certainly will help securing an excellent opportunity.
But hurry. Because of the overwhelming response, we have extended the application deadline for a short time.
I found the application process to be very easy. I completed my application in one day over the internet.
Apply today, and our admissions counselors will fast-track your application.
I was assigned a graduate admissions advisor who walked me through the process and was there every step of the way.
You may even be eligible for a merit scholarship or a GMAT prep voucher. Call 303-871-3416 or visit us online at daniels.du.edu/fall.
I would say, go for it. Do it.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to have summertime kind of warmth over the next several days. There's a slight risk of severe thunderstorms east of the city later today and a chance right through the weekend. We'll reach up to about 76 for our daytime high and then drop back to about 51 for the overnight low. And then temperatures Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be in the upper 70s to low 80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy in 71, KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news is 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and a few program notes. We're going to be joined by critically acclaimed novelist Kent Harif in our 2 o'clock hour. His previous bestseller was Plain Song. He has a brand new book out called Eventide. It's set in Colorado. He lives in Colorado. He'll be live with us in studio. And he's going to be signing books tonight at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek at 7:30. And they're expecting a huge crowd, so you need to get there at 6:30 because they're going to be giving out tickets. Also, tomorrow we are going to be joined by Ron Chernow, who is a National Book Award winner. He has a brand new biography of Alexander Hamilton. I want to also let you know I'm going to be on Channel 12 on Saturday night at 10. The show is Drop Frame, which features the work of independent filmmakers. And on Channel 12 on Sunday night at 11 p.m., where I'm going to be interviewed on California Outspoken. And also want to let you know that entertainer Paul Williams, composer, he's a songwriter. He's going to speak at SOAR High School's annual auction and fundraiser. And SOAR is the only school in Colorado, I think, that it's a benefit for Colorado's only sobriety and recovery high school. And that's going to be on Sunday, May 23, 4:30 to 9:30 at the Tivoli Student Union on the Auraria campus. And tickets are $40. And for tickets and info, call 720-887-9033. Joining us in this segment is Miles Moffitt, who did a front page piece or appeared in the front page yesterday of the Denver Post, and it was about the brutal interrogation in Iraq. Five detainees' deaths probed. Excuse me. And if you went into it, it was just really grisly and raised a lot of questions. A good example of excellent enterprise reporting. Miles Moffitt, Denver Post staff writer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us the story. What did you find?
Well, in these cases, we found five examples of military soldiers using extreme techniques out of prisoners. And in these cases, the prisoner was found dead after the interrogation or was found to have died during the interrogation.
How did you know about this story? How did you come upon it?
Well, for the last year, I've been investigating how the military handles sexual assault and domestic violence cases. And in the course of that research, I've made, you know, several contacts within the Pentagon. And one of my most important contacts was able to give me the documents that illustrate, how badly these interrogations went, some of these harsh tactics they were using.
So you really, I think you scooped everybody on this one, didn't you? I haven't seen it anyplace else.
I have.
Congratulations to you. All right. Now, this is pretty grisly stuff, but you found out that the deaths of at least five Iraqi prisoners, as you put it, in war zone detention camps, and you indicated there was a death, there were suffocations, there was, you know, when the official document said so-and-so died of natural causes, you found out otherwise.
Right.
I'm amazed that they didn't, that you were able to find documents that contradicted the official version. I'm amazed they didn't kind of disappear those documents.
Right. Well, there are a lot of documents circulating because there's so many internal investigations into what's happened at Abu Ghraib and some of these other detention facilities. There are actually at least seven internal reviews going on into, you know, how they've handled prisoners, how they've interrogated prisoners, and the procedures that are supposed to oversee these procedures.
All right. Now, let me ask you, you have a case here of a high-level Iraqi general who was, as you put it, shoved into a sleeping bag. Give us the five incidents that you found.
Well, that was probably the most detailed of all the scenarios we got through these records. And, you know, he was one of two military officials with the Iraqi army who died during interrogations. There was another lieutenant colonel who died after being questioned. And he was basically handcuffed to the top of his cell. His basically his body was extended, and he was chained to the top of his cell. And then supposedly after the interrogation, a few minutes later, they came back in and found him not breathing. And the one of the threads in these five cases, well, in three cases, the autopsy showed that the prisoner died of asphyxiation. And it's unclear exactly how, well, in this case, the guy who was hanging from his cell had been gagged as well as previously.
Well, you have the case of the Iraqi Major General who actually turned himself in. He was somebody who headed Saddam's Air Force.
That's right. That's the case that everybody seems to be most interested in.
He's considered, as you put it, a high priority target. He turned himself in for questioning in November.
Exactly.
And then, according to the documents, after 2 weeks in custody at one detention facility, two soldiers, you report, with the 66th Military Intelligence Company slid a sleeping bag over his body, except for his feet, and began questioning him as they rolled him repeatedly from his back to his stomach, the document showed. Then one of the soldiers, an interrogator, sat on this general, this major general, his name is Mauhush, he sat on his chest, placed his hands over the prisoner's mouth. According to the report, during this interrogation, the general became, well, oddly enough, the general became non-responsive.
Exactly.
Medics were called, and he was later pronounced dead. According to the documents, a preliminary report lists the cause of death as asphyxia due to the smothering and chest compressions. Do you know anything more about that story?
Well, we know that the interrogator, the soldier who was actually rolling him back and forth, according to this record, has not faced criminal proceedings.
Is he going to?
It's a little unclear. The Associated Press moved a story last night citing CIA sources as forwarding three interrogation death cases to the Justice Department for prosecution. And that report alluded to this particular case. However, my records don't show that a CIA agent, they don't explicitly say a CIA agent was involved, that the interrogator was military intelligence. But we know that.
But the question is: are they going to be? Is there any movement afoot for prosecution?
Well, in this case, it's just unclear. I've not been able to substantiate whether it's one of those cases that's
okay.
Gone to the Justice
All
Department.
All right. So we have five people. You have. Let's see. There was one detainee. Who during interrogation was kicked in the rib cage, punched in the kidney area, slapped in the head. That's being investigated.
Right. All these cases are being investigated. Three of the deaths occurred last year, and you know I think it can't be coincidental that the day that we write the story talking about the details of these cases, suddenly cases are being transferred to the Justice Department for action.
So you think that your reporting has been a motivator in doing that?
I think it's very possible.
But some of these more egregious cases, we don't know whether there's going to be any prosecution or not.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have people who want to talk to you. Jerry, calling from Denver, first-time caller. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're live with Enid, and we have something for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm calling because I'm hearing all of these things about how protesting against these abuses and being outraged by it makes me un-American. And, you know, I think that's a horrible thing to say. And another thing, I mean, all these deaths and these contributions to, from these abuses, and I think it's another example of tyranny promotes abuses. When there's no one questioning what's happening in power, these things get to, you know, happen.
Do you have a question for Miles, Jerry?
Well, I wanted to find out the responses from the government. Are they poo-pooing your what you're finding and promoting, or is it?
Well, right now there's a very loud silence. They issued a press statement on late Tuesday that basically said we are taking corrective actions. We do have good people in the military. It was just a very, you know, very broad statement with no details, and they have not responded to my phone calls yesterday and today. I'm still scrambling to get any kind of detail from them on this.
Well, thank you for your work. I know that puts you in the forefront of criticism, and I think you're doing an important job for our nation at this critical time.
Jerry, thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, my guest Miles Moffitt, Denver Post reporter, who has broken this story to thunderous silence. Brutal interrogation in Iraq, 5 detainees' deaths are probed, 5 very troubling deaths, some of them from asphyxiation as these people were being interrogated, and it's always interesting to see what the official cause of death is and what the autopsy reports show or what the version they put out for public consumption and what the actual medical records show. Let me ask you, what do you expect will happen from this point on?
Well, I learned today that there are several lawmakers on the House Armed Services Committee who are very concerned, and they're trying to draft a letter to the Pentagon to demand more answers about these cases. They're also concerned. I'm working on a story for tomorrow about how in at least 5 cases at the prison and other camps, the deaths have gone without autopsies, and the causes of death are just classified as undetermined. And this possibly is in conflict with Geneva Conventions and other international law.
Okay. We can expect this tomorrow?
Right.
All right. And tell me what you think will be an outcome here. In other words, have you been able to find out in your research about the role of military interrogators versus, the military intelligence, the separate branches that are in question now? Who was actually in charge of these interrogations?
Right.
Is any of that dovetailing with your reporting?
It's clear that in many of the cases where abuses occurred, not just the deaths, that military intelligence soldiers were involved. And, of course, that's in contrast to what's happening at the prison, where the role of intelligence is a little murkier. In terms of an outcome here, there are just a lot of dots to connect. In the case of the Iraqi general who was, according to the records, placed in the sleeping bag and suffocated, this is a very high-ranking Iraqi soldier who probably had a lot of very intriguing intelligence.
Right, and he brought him, and he turned himself in.
Exactly. So the question is, did anybody high up in the chain of command approve the tactics that were used on him? I don't know. I've submitted these questions to the Pentagon, but these are among the questions that I cannot get answered.
What it also suggests is that it was a one-size-fits-all kind of an interrogation tactic. It didn't matter whether you were high, low, whether you were brother-in-law, whether you were a taxi driver, whether you were a high-ranking military official in Saddam's regime, you got the same treatment, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the tactics are very similar. The choking off of airways was a common factor in these deaths. Sitting on prisoners, there's a term used in these documents. It's called stress interrogation technique. And the report on the death of the Iraqi general clearly said that these techniques were applied to him. So, you know, one understands that, you know, there's a term for these tactics.
In other words, they're so widely employed, these tactics, what do you call it, stress interrogation tactics?
Right.
Which sounds like one degree away from asphyxiation and possibly often crossing the line.
That's the implication.
All right. I have an email from a listener, Arthur. Arthur says, I don't have time to call, but could you ask your guest, what happens to the bodies of these prisoners after they're killed by the U.S.? Do they go to the families? Could the bodies be exhumed for further autopsy?
That's a very good question. Under UN law, autopsies, it appears from my reading of the law that autopsies are supposed to be carried out in suspicious deaths. Now, you know, so there could be room for subjectivity there.
How do we know that in the medical records that you cite there were asphyxiation and so forth? Isn't that the result of an autopsy?
Yes. In those cases, yes. There are these other cases I'm writing about for tomorrow in which an autopsy did not, you know, was not performed. And, you know, whether they're suspicious, you know, I don't know. But, you know, somebody who's gasping for air suddenly and is treated by medics and then suddenly dies and no autopsy is ordered raises a lot of questions. But in terms of where the bodies go, some of them are released to families. In Arab countries, you have a very, you know, a cultural imperative to bury the body fast. And maybe that was a factor in some of these deaths I'll be writing about later. And, you know, apparently there, I can't believe that there are really rigid procedures for disposing of bodies, because as you've seen in some of the pictures from the prison, they seem to be lying around a lot. Just there's no real dignified way in many instances of you know,
a burial or whatever they're
burying or disposing.
We have some questions. Let's go to the phones. John in Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid and with Miles Moffitt of the Denver Post. Welcome. John?
Hi. I just turned on in the middle of the conversation, and the one question that I have for your guest is, where were these five deaths? Were they in Abu Ghraib, or were they in other prisons as well?
They were in Abu Ghraib, and they were in other detention facilities. One was a classified facility. We don't know where it was located. Another was at Camp Cropper. These are detention facilities pretty close to Baghdad.
That classified facility would really raise eyebrows, wouldn't it? Because
yeah.
It's so secret,
yeah.
You don't know where it is and how it exists. And is it even in Iraq, or is it in some third-party country?
It's in Iraq.
In Iraq, you do know that.
Right. Well, okay. I can only say that the documents lead me to indicate it's in Iraq.
Okay.
Well, this has the stamp of Mr. Rumsfeld all over it from my vantage point. He and the secretive authority that he's given to people to, you know, to instigate these kind of techniques.
Well, what do you think about that, John? I thank you for the call. I don't know if Rumsfeld, but certainly if you read the Cyhersh reporting in the New Yorker magazine, you get the impression that Rumsfeld, even Bush, knew about it and that everybody signed off on it. Any comments you want to make about that, Miles? Anything that your reporting leads you to conclude?
Well, I hate to leap in front of reporting I haven't done yet. I can only say that, you know, given my study of these records, it appears that these are not isolated tactics, that there is a thread, and that they could very well go, you know, much higher than just the level of detention facility management.
Any of our senators in Colorado going to attempt to promote some sort of an investigation into these?
You know, Senator Allard is leaving it in the military's hands. He released a statement to me today saying he was confident the military was going to pursue.
Well, there's a surprise, Miles. And what about Neidhart Campbell, who's busy under investigation himself?
I don't know.
He's got other fish to fry, possibly?
I haven't reached him. I'm primarily staying connected with the members of Congress on the Armed Services Committees.
Have you sent anything to McCain? Have you sent anything?
I've attempted to get a response from McCain, and there is no response. As you know, there's
Lindsey
a lot
Graham.
Of tension among Republicans on Capitol Hill regarding this issue. Some don't believe that it needs the attention that it's getting, and there's a lot of pressure on Republican leadership to back off for a while.
Are you trying the Democrats as well?
Yes. Well, the Democrats are the ones who are taking action right now. Loretta Sanchez, California lawmaker on the House Armed Services Committee.
Guys, the woman who beat out B1 Bob Dornan.
What's that?
She beat out B1 Bob Dornan.
That's right.
Okay, one last question. Sure. We just have a couple seconds left from Dave. Dave says he wants to know, will the Post publish the documents and put them online?
Per agreement with my source, I've promised the source that we will not reproduce the documents in any way.
Okay. So one final question before we let you go. You think you'll have a piece in tomorrow's paper, Denver Post?
Yes.
And it will cover again?
It will detail how at least five prisoner deaths went without autopsies and the actions being taken by Congress members to further investigate and demand answers from the Pentagon.
Miles Moffitt, congratulations. Good job.
Thanks. Enjoyed being on.
Thank you for coming on with us today, and keep us posted, and we'll be looking for your piece tomorrow in the Denver Post.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, you too. I'm Nina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. What are your thoughts about that? Some really good enterprise, good investigative reporting here coming out of the Denver Post. Huzzah, huzzah, and bravo. 303-382-1150.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors. Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo. Call now for tickets. Your ticket price includes dinner. This unique show is running only for a short time, so don't miss your chance. Call 303-297-9600.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window and Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window and Door.
Sight of the giant medved auto flex. I went inside and I made a great deal. Now I'm revving up the motor on my new set of wheels. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, a vroom, vroom. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, to medved. Vroom, vroom, a vroom, vroom. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, to medved.
Medved Chevrolet has discounts up to $13,000 and 0% financing with approved credit. Put a little vroom into your life. Check out the Chevy Tahoe, Silverado, or Colorado pickup. Chevrolet, an American revolution at the giant Medved Autoflex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant Medved Autoflex.
The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Concert Series is here.
Spend a memorable summer night in the historic setting of Chautauqua Auditorium in Boulder and hear great artists from around the world and across the musical spectrum. Sunday, May 13th, see Tamburitzins perform the music, songs, and dances of Eastern Europe. For the complete lineup and tickets, visit Chautauqua.com. The 2004 Chautauqua Summer Concert Series is brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are in the green at this hour. The Dow up by 15 points, the NASDAQ up by 2.5. Some decent news on the economy today. A private research firm says rising energy prices and the prospect of a hike in interest rates aren't dampening the economic revival. The Conference Board's report also confirming that the economy is not booming enough to prompt fears of inflation. Factories in the Mid-Atlantic region cooled off a bit this month after a recent period of heated activity, but today's survey from the Philadelphia Fed shows prospects for the manufacturing sector remain bright. And the number of Americans filing new claims for jobless benefits unexpectedly rose last week, but the less volatile four-week average dropped to its lowest level since late in the year 2000. Microsoft isn't laying anyone off, but it is reducing prescription drug benefits and employee stock discounts. The computer giant expects to save $80 million a year. Still untouched, the firm's free gym and free beverages. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the mmm sound. Only the mmm sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue. You tell them. Just like Moo Nestle Coffee Mate half and half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the easy pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
Have you got your Goodyears? Get to your participating Goodyear retailer now through June 5th while all Goodyear tires are on sale. You'll save big on every Goodyear brand tire in stock. Plus, buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to a $60 rebate. And while you're there, check out Goodyear's new Assurance brand of passenger tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to a $60 rebate, keep your car in step. Get your Goodyears today. Mail-in offer ends June 5th.
If you're concerned about what your kids are watching on MTV, can't figure out why your child can't say the Pledge of Allegiance in school, tune in mornings to Jenny Lakey.
Jenny Lakey.
The information I need.
Very entertaining show all around.
The new generation of talk radio in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:32 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we're going to be joined in the 3 o'clock hour by Kent Harrop. His brand new book, and they're expecting a huge crowd tonight at Tattered Covers. I'll share that information as we continue. If you're just tuning in, you miss Miles Moffitt, who has a great scoop on everybody else. The brutal interrogation in Iraq, and this is the clearest view yet that the tactics at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere coaxed, you know, it resulted in the death of at least five detainees. Some of them died of asphyxiation, and they're very, very suspicious deaths, and some of these are quite high level. And perhaps high-value targets. This is very interesting stuff. Also coming out in the Wall Street Journal, officials in Iraq knew last fall of prison abuse. The Red Cross report was seen by the U.S. military 2 months before the inquiry, and they just blew it off because there was a whole other backstory going on. And it looks like Seymour Hersh was right, that there was a whole kind of a black intelligence project, black meaning completely covert. White means it's completely public. Black means completely covert. Not even no records that it exists, no records that it's supposed to exist, etc. Just a few people who would know about it and high-level military people who did know about it blew it off because they knew that something else was afoot. One boy was apparently mistreated. A GI says that one boy, a 16-year-old, was mistreated to get his dad to talk. Another soldier is saying that intelligence directed that the abuse occur. We know that Ahmad Chalabi's home was raided by U.S. troops. One version of the story is they're just making it look like there's a break with the administration. The other version is that he's fallen out of favor. What a fraud. The guy was convicted of embezzlement charges and fraud charges in the country of Jordan. He has a very spotty background. He's the one that gave all this information to the Pentagon. He was on a payroll for millions of dollars to the Pentagon, and all the information he provided was completely false. Years ago, the CIA realized that he was a complete flake, and they wouldn't take any of his information seriously, but because he told the Pentagon what they wanted to hear and provided some sort of bolstering for it, he was their source, and the whole idea was to put him in power when he came back. And so whether this raid is for real or whether it's to make it look like he is in a break with the Pentagon, I don't really know. But that is the latest that's going on. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Bill, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I'm very well, Bill.
The interesting thing is that what happens if anybody criticizes the administration, particularly, even the moderate Republicans who are criticizing, instead of dealing with the issues that they raise, they begin to go after the person. Typical operation. And it's an absolute outrage. And, you know, don't confuse me with the fact.
Well, who are they going after right now?
I'm trying to think of the woman from Maine, the Republican.
Susan Collins.
Susan Collins.
Yeah.
She raised an issue about the veracity of the fact that these young guardsmen made up, you know, created all this interrogation technique on their own, and she took umbrage with that issue, and now all the Republican talk show hosts are attacking her.
That's because they get their talking points every morning and they excrete them on the air. And that's part of the reason you have a push to conservatism in this country. That their information's not correct seems beside the point in most cases. It's too bad they're going after her. She had the courage to ask questions. They're not going after Lindsey Graham, are they? And he had the courage to ask questions, and they're not going after Senator John McCain. And he had the courage to ask questions.
Well, they did. In fact, yesterday, the majority leader of the House was asked about a McCain comment that said, you know, it's kind of silly.
Tell me quickly, Bill. We have very little time.
They asked Hastert why McCain is raised the question about why are we cutting taxes when we're at war, and Hastert had the audacity to say, who's John McCain?
Ooh, that's bad. Bill, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Gene in Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yeah, I have noticed recently that every time a bona fide military or ex-military person, a decorated war hero, a person who's spent time in prison camps, every time they get near the Republicans and say anything that's adverse to their giveaway programs, why they wind up looking like they took a bath out in a barnyard.
They look like they were diced, sliced, and pureed. Thanks, Gene. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the Thursday edition.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy and 71 now. The death of a woman who died after a strange incident at Coors Field is now being investigated as a homicide. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound and southbound I-25 at the Meade exit, Highway 66. Still a lot of sand in the traffic lanes there. CDOT crews are trying to clean up the goop, and it's causing a bit of a slowdown in there, according to a listener. Closer to town, report of a new accident southbound I-25 at University Boulevard. Denver police on their way to check that one. Northbound I-25 at Park Avenue West, remnants of an injury accident, causing a little bit of slowing in there, as you might suspect. Southbound University at Alameda, traffic lights aren't working. None of the traffic lights is working at 76th and Wadsworth, nor at 88th and Sheridan. Sounds like a fairly substantial power outage in there. If you come across an intersection that does not have benefit of traffic signals, be sure and treat it as a four-way stop. That's what state law says to do. Deep Rock bottled water is a great way to keep clean, pure water right at your fingertips. Order online at deeprockwater.com or call 303-292-2020. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
On April 28th, a 69-year-old Centennial woman was pricked by an unknown object as she was leaving Coors Field. Nancy Short filed a police report 2 days later. Then several days after that, she was hospitalized. Short died last week. Police say whether the incident was intentional or not, the woman died from an injury that became badly infected. They're now investigating it as a homicide. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. A state board has rejected a plan from Colorado State Treasurer Mike Kaufman to fix the state's budget problem. The State Board rejected Kaufman's plan to ask voters in November to approve a rainy day fund, along with changing the amount of money the state spends on schools. The city of Denver has about $12 million more than it had expected. Through the end of last month, Denver collected 7% more in taxes. The city's budget director says it's too early, though, to start revising the budget. Quest Choice Long Distance for Business, just 5 cents a minute with $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1239.
More In and Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings.
We love to shop and want to share some fashion tips with you, courtesy of Colorado Mills, the great shopping center at Colfax and Indiana Avenue in Lakewood. With its mix of retail and outlet stores, you'll find everything your little heart desires.
Here's a tip. Want to look taller and thinner? The answer is monochromatic or one-color dressing. Dress yourself in one color and you will look 10 pounds lighter and a few inches taller.
You don't even have to match the colors exactly. Color tones and texture vary. Variations work well too. Stop by Colorado Mills this week and check out their monochromatic outfits at stores such as Ann Taylor Loft, Cashel Corner Annex, and Chico's.
This Style Matters fashion moment is brought to you by Colorado Mills, just 15 minutes from downtown at Colfax and Indiana Avenues in Lakewood at Denver West. Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals.
This is Evelyn and Judy from Style Matters Live saying visit Colorado Mills where great shopping lives.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy skies for us this afternoon. Chance of some afternoon thunderstorms, mostly cloudy tonight, chance of thunderstorms, then partly cloudy after midnight, upper 40s for the overnight low. More of the same tomorrow, partly cloudy, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms, and a high in the low 80s. Partly cloudy and 71 now, KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors. Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo. Call now for tickets. Your ticket price includes dinner. This unique show is running only for a short time, so don't miss your chance. Call 303-297-9600.
You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We've got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1242 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, you missed Miles Moffat, but he has broken. He has really scooped the universe here on a story, finding at least five, very troubling deaths, some due to asphyxiation. Some of them are high-level prisoners in Iraq. One of them is a major general who turned himself in. And by the time he was through being interrogated, that was the end of it for him. And all of them seem to have died by, or some of them anyway, by asphyxiation. So it looks like the brutal interrogation techniques, more of them are being uncovered. The other story that I want to move on to as well is the fallout from the report, CU report. The regents met yesterday, and I'm looking at Mike Litwin's column, and boy, does he ever nail it. I mean, this is... He starts by saying, I could say a bunch of nasty things about the CU Board of Regents and how they humiliated themselves to a degree that even I found astonishing. I could sum up the Regents' prevailing attitude on the CU scandal thusly, everything is okay, everyone's job is secure, and the people who suffered most grievously were the parents of the football players. I could say, Mike Litwin writes, that if the members of the Board of the Regents had been on the Senate Watergate Committee, Richard Nixon would still be president. Look, he said, I could say that when the regents arrived at this very public special session, when they supposedly called in order to question the independent commissioners about their scathing report on CU football, that they couldn't get out of the room fast enough, and that the questions most of them wanted to ask but couldn't quite summon the nerve are these. Should we throw Gary Barnett a welcome back party now? Or should we, for appearance's sake, wait a week? Hey, I know. Let's get Nathan Maxey to get a stripper to jump out of the cake. Or, of course, paramount in everybody's mind was, why couldn't those young women just have kept their mouths shut? Of course, sexual assault is a terrible thing, but so is losing to Nebraska. I could say that and more, but why not let Jim Martin, who actually is on the board, say it instead? Martin said he was, quote, surprised at the lack of hard-hitting questions. The commissioners were also surprised, or maybe it was stunned. You could also add dismay that the regents seemed to have nothing to say about the women who brought forth the charges in the first place. And then Regent Jim Martin said this of his fellow regents. To me, it seems as though it's a fait accompli. It's just kind of, well, we're going to take this report and come back and everything's okay, and come August, it's Buffalo football time. Well, boy, everybody's trying to get buffaloed here. Maybe we in the press misled you by describing the commission's work as scathing or blistering. You'd have thought, if that were the case, then surely the regents, Litwin writes, who commissioned the report, would be sufficiently concerned that they would come loaded with questions other than where you could get your parking ticket validated. They were too busy, I guess, rubber stamping CU President Betsy Hoffman. The report said the regents should evaluate Betsy Hoffman. The evaluation took maybe 2 minutes. Hoffman stays and is given the charge of determining whether, in the report's words, other CU leaders could, quote, affect profound changes in culture, structure, and reporting systems at the university. Hoffman took months to understand the depths of the scandal, but by the time I left the regents' meeting, Litwin writes, ate lunch, and got back to the office, okay, it was a long lunch, and I stopped to get gas, she was ready to announce that Richard Binney was back as chancellor and was prepared to effect any changes as needed. Richard Binney was criticized in an extremely scathing way as somebody who didn't follow through, who barely followed up in the first place, and Tharp ignored him to begin with. And Tharp is the athletic director who, again, in the Denver Post editorial pages today said ought to be canned, that Tharp ought to go. The report was toughest, in fact, in its criticism of the working relationship between Binney and the athletic director Dick Tharp, who reports to the chancellor. It was a relationship that Commissioner Jacqueline St. Joan called dysfunctional, adding that either we need someone stronger than Binney or weaker than Tharp to make the link operate correctly. Well, Binney's back in business again, and if Tharp stays, then it's business as usual as far as I can see. Anyway, Litwin writes, naturally, I kept waiting to hear the news, and maybe it will come today that Tharp was in line for a big race. And he goes on to say that Tharp was accused in the report of bringing the concept of plausible deniability to college football. If anyone goes, it'll probably be him, Litwin writes. He does have a fallback position, after all. Part owner of Boulder's largest liquor store. Yes, anyone can have the number one party school in the country, but few schools boast a top official who can actually provide the booze. This leaves suspended coach Gary Barnett, who the betting is in, will be reinstated. Really? Is he going to come back? I really thought he was going to get the boot. So everybody thinks that Gary Barnett is coming back. What are your comments about the regents here? Diane Carman's column in today's Post, headline, The Regent Pep Rally Recalls the Three Stooges. Nobody ever accused the University of Colorado's Board of Regents of being politically astute, but its handling of the Independent Investigative Commission's report on the recruiting scandal couldn't have been more inept if it had been choreographed by Larry, Moe, and Curley. And they managed it with platitudes. It's time to heal, said platitudes. That would be the kind way of putting it. How about cliches? It's time to heal, said Chairman Pete Steinhauser. On to better days, said Jim Martin. Enough is enough, said Jerry Rutledge. And most appropriately, Gail Schwartz apparently aimed at administrators, players, and all you rowdy Buffs fans out there. Giddy up. So 303-382-1150, the regents are telling Betsy Hoffman they love her. Her job is secure. It's fine. She's telling Binney his job is secure. He's fine. Tharp, I mean, what was the point of this commission? What was the point of a blistering, scathing review by the commission of Hoffman, of Binney, of Tharp, of Coach Barnett? And now it's business as usual and nobody wants to scream about this? Do they think it'll play well with Coloradans? Apparently it will. I don't hear anybody screaming. 303-382-1150. And the people who suffered the most were the parents of the football players who may have been wrongly accused. They are the ones who are suffering, really, really, really suffering here. Do you want to comment about this? The regents are endorsing Betsy Hoffman when the commission said the regents should evaluate whether she should stay or not. Well, the regents have made their decision. She's staying. Now, the backstory here and what is not being reported is what are the contractual arrangements? How much does the university stand to lose if Hoffman is fired, if Binney is replaced, if Tharp goes, and if Barnett is not reinstated? What's it going to cost the university? And they're willing, apparently, whatever the dollar figure is, hey, it's fine with them. 303-382-1150. And then, the other story we are following, Archbishop Chaput, in the wake of Bishop Sheridan's letter to parishioners in Colorado Springs, if you support a politician who supports abortion, who supports stem cell research, who supports gay marriage, you cannot receive communion. Well, it looks like Archbishop Chaput can't wait to jump into the fray here. He says that he's going to lay out his guidelines for receiving communion next week. So what are they going to hold out? The politicalometer over your head, and if it's in the red zone, you don't get communion? Is that the story here? And I think it revives their old animosities and why, until John F. Kennedy, no Catholic could really be elected president in this country, because there was a lot of prejudice against Catholics in this country. And people felt, wrongly, I think, that if a Catholic were elected to very high office, that Catholic might be prone to taking his marching orders from the Pope. And that's when JFK was forced to address that very issue. Well, 48 Roman Catholic members of Congress have warned in a letter to Cardinal Theodore McCarrick of Washington that U.S. bishops will revive anti-Catholic bigotry and severely harm the church if they deny communion to politicians who support abortion rights. The letter signers, all of them Democrats, include at least three House members with strong anti-abortion voting records. For many years, Catholics were denied public office by voters who feared that they would take direction from the Pope, these people wrote, these 48 lawmakers. And while that type of paranoid anti-Catholicism seems to be a thing of the past, attempts by church leaders today to influence votes by threat of withholding a sacrament will revive latent anti-Catholic prejudice which so many of us have worked so hard to overcome. And in a related but unrelated story, Unitarian Universalists have for decades presided over births, marriages, and memorials. The church operates in every state. They have more than 5,000 members in Texas alone. But according to the Office of Texas Comptroller, a Denison Unitarian Church isn't really a religious organization, at least for tax purposes. And so they're not getting an exemption from their taxes, even though the Scientologists do, interestingly enough, which is a religion you can hardly call a religion. And Pueblo Roman Catholic Bishop Arthur Tafoya has called on his flock this election year to consider not just abortion, but also poverty, war, the death penalty, and working for peace and justice. His admonition comes on the heels from the statements from two other Colorado bishops, more narrowly defined the critical questions facing Catholic voters. There's a lot of confusion among people. Tafoya noted that in light of today's social climate and tough issues, Catholics and people of goodwill can feel politically homeless. He has directed his flock, 110,000 Catholics in 29 Southern Colorado counties, to a 2002 U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops document, so that you are examining your political choices on the basis of a whole range of issues, not on the basis of three or four, as Bishop Sheridan would ask you to do. 303-382-1150. So here you have large, powerful institutions. I think this is the thread of the three stories that we have covered so far. If you're just tuning in, Miles Moffitt scooping everybody on these suspicious deaths of five, some of them top-ranking, high-ranking prisoners of interrogation in Iraqi prisons, dying by asphyxiation after some severe interrogation techniques. So you have that, the United States government here, and the military, and the intelligence community, very powerful institutions, putting out BS press releases about how people died when in fact the facts are otherwise, and asphyxiation looks like the cause of death in some of these cases. Then you have CU, another powerful institution and well connected. You have a commission appointed so that there is an independent report. The independent report is blistering. It is scathing. It comes down hard on the leadership at CU. Then there's a meeting of the regents, and it was though the commission report never existed. Business as usual. Betsy Hoffman doing a fabulous job. She says Binney's doing a good job. Tharp and Barnett, who knows what's going to happen to them, but it looks like it's business as usual. And then you have a Catholic Church trying to mold people into how to vote. I think that what these three, let me ask you the question. What do these three stories have in common? What, if I were these three powerful institutions, what do these three stories have in common? The Catholic Church, CU, sweeping under the rug, a scathing, blistering report about how business is done there, and the brutal interrogation tactics in Iraqi prisons that nobody seems to want to take responsibility for, resulting in the death of at least five, some of them very high-ranking detainees. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
As America continues its war on terrorism, AM 1150 KNRC is here with you.
The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
We'll update you when the government issues an alert, and this is the best place to talk about it. Talk about it. Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC.
Metabolife is number one for weight loss. This month at Albertsons, buy one bottle of Metabolife Ultra or caffeine free and get a second free. Metabolife, buy one, get one free at Albertsons.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett for McDonald Automotive Group. You know, if there's anything people want these days, it's choice. And if you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, you owe yourself a visit to McDonald Automotive Group on Broadway. Here you can find rows upon rows of Volvos, Audis, Volkswagens. In short, the region's largest selection of vehicles from some of the highest-rated pre-owned programs in the country. And that's not just their opinion, or my opinion. That is the independent opinion of IntelliChoice, which evaluates manufactured, sponsored, certified used vehicle programs on things like warranty coverage, special financing, and even roadside assistance. So there you have it, the largest selection of pre-owned Volvos, Audis, and Volkswagens. Why would you go anywhere else, especially if you're in the market for that certified pre-owned vehicle? Stop by McDonald Automotive Group today on Broadway, just south of Orchard. That's 6000 South Broadway. The phone number 303-795-1100. 303-795-1100.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. 888-617-5255. Call them now, 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
Lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hate her.
Ignorant.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Honey, this isn't Leaping Fawn Beige.
It has to be. I painted with Leaping Fawn Beige.
Well, look at the wall. That's closer to Sleeping Fawn Beige.
What happened to the fawns?
To see true color, you need the right light. Philips natural light bulbs bring out what's natural in your surroundings. A more natural light, more like daylight, so colors look the way they should, the way they really are. Philips Natural Light Bulbs. Available at the Home Depot.
I want my fawns leaping, honey.
Hi, it's John Rizzi, editor of Colorado Avid Golfer magazine. Do you love golf as much as I do? If so, join me and physical golf's Neil Walkadoff for On the Tee every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on 1150 KNRC. We'll talk about how to play, where to play, and what to play. We'll go inside the tour, across the state, and around the country, bringing in guests from the world of golf. And we'll take your calls, too. Even give you a shot at winning something. So join our twosome every Saturday morning at 8 on the Tee at 1150 KNRC.
Hey, what's your sign? Is it hot in here, or is it just you? I seem to have lost my phone number. Could I have yours?
Looking for a new pickup line? Try this one.
Excuse me, but I couldn't help wondering, what station do you listen to?
Works every time. AM 1150, KNRC.
I'm Doug Keller. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1258 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And I just had an email. The question I posed is this. What do these three stories have in common? The interrogation leading to the deaths of five high-level people in Iraqi prisons that was scooped by Miles Moffat in yesterday's Denver Post on front page. The Catholic Church trying to tell you how to vote. And also see you sweeping that scathing report under the rug. Well, I would say the one. Well, here's Greg saying that he thinks that the Catholic priests are acting like the American Taliban, and then you have all the religious right in Washington. I would say the one word that ties all three of these together: corruption. I see these are large institutions, and I think they've strayed very far from their mandates. Academe, religion, government, and military, corrupt. They have become corrupt. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Mourners in western Iraq firing guns at a funeral for one of the estimated 40 people killed in a U.S. raid yesterday. Some Iraqis still claim the target was a wedding party, but Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says not true.
This is one of those routes that we have watched for a long period of time as a place where foreign fighters and smugglers come into this country. This was clearly the intelligence that we had suggested that this was a foreign fighter rat line, as we call them, at one of the way stations.
Kimmett promises an investigation. President Bush says Iraqis are ready to take the training wheels off and begin forming a democracy. He spoke with fellow Republicans on Capitol Hill, urging them to stand behind his policy on Iraq. The handover of power there is scheduled at the end of next month. Researchers indicate the Windy City is also the sinking city. Scientists say Chicago has sunk by about 4 inches over the last 100 years. They blame it on shifts in the Earth's crust and the movement of glaciers. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Hey, son, how's it going?
Pretty good, I guess.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound so good. What's wrong?
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I was looking forward to 3 days off.
Yeah?
But my manager just called, and he wants me to work on Monday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So while you enjoy your day off, I'll be bagging groceries at the store.
Well, son, we can still have fun.
How?
Well, I'm gonna grill some great-tasting steaks, right?
Yeah.
So I'll come to the store. I'll get some Kingsford charcoal, and you can bag my groceries. Yes, that's it. It'll be fun.
Memorial Day is here, and it's time to break out the barbecue. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll get the summer started right, which will make any day a day to remember. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 72 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Colorado teachers are upset. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Accident with injuries just now coming in on the ramp from Quebec to eastbound I-70. A light pole has been knocked over as well. Emergency equipment responding in there. Also getting word of an accident southbound I-25 around 8th Avenue. Details a little more sketchy about that one, but watch for some congestion in that area. Also a collision on the ramp from eastbound I-76 to Pecos Street causing some problems. And there is a lot of sand on the road, both directions of the highway, or I-25 rather, at Highway 66 near the Meade exit. Truck dropped a load of sand and CDOT crews are trying to scoop all the little granules up. It's causing some congestion, as you might suspect. You can't count on traffic moving smoothly, but luckily you can count on Liquid Plumber to clear the toughest clogged drains. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Teachers around Colorado are protesting what they call unfair contract proposals. About 500 Denver teachers rallied before the Denver School Board meeting today in protest of a second year of no pay raises. Teacher Beth Kasinwick explains why teachers statewide are so upset.
No net change in their take-home pay. Again. And that's what upsets teachers, that we should be worth more than that, and we should be valued more than that. It's not just about the money. It's also about teachers' time and their professional judgment and what they're being asked to do on a day-to-day basis.
Dozens of teachers in Boulder called in sick to protest a new contract proposal that would cut 60% of teachers' salaries. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Five people have been arrested by Larimer County Sheriff's deputies on charges of forgery and counterfeiting. All five are being held without bail at the Larimer County Detention Center, each facing several felony charges. The death of a woman who was poked by an unknown object at Coors Field last month is now being investigated as a homicide. 69-year-old Nancy Short of Centennial was pricked by something as she left the ballpark on April 28th. The wound became infected and Short died last Friday. Police say whether it was intentional or not, they're considering it a homicide. In sports, the Colorado Rockies play the last of three in Cincinnati tonight. Last night, the Reds outlasted the Rocks, winning 4-3 in 10 innings. This weekend at AutoZone, pick up an electronic fuse tester kit with an assortment of spare fuses for only $7.99. That's 20% off the regular price while supplies last at AutoZone. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 104.
Info.
What's up?
The scoop.
The latest.
What do you know?
What's new?
Listen and we'll tell you. Hear Colorado talk. AM 1150, KNRC.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window and Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window and Door.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to have summertime kind of warmth over the next several days. There's a slight risk of severe thunderstorms east of the city later today and a chance right through the weekend. We'll reach up to about 76 for our daytime high and then drop back to about 51 for the overnight low. And then temperatures Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be in the upper 70s to low 80s. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy in 72. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And if you're just tuning in, you missed Miles Moffitt, who's a Denver Post reporter, broke this story on these brutal investigations that occurred in deaths in Iraq. I mean, this is even on top of what we have already learned. And some of these were pretty high-ranking people, one of whom turned himself in. He was like a major general for Saddam Hussein. And all of them curiously died by asphyxiation or unknown causes, but they were, some of them were gagged and stomped. And, I mean, it's pretty bad. But you are not too late for our guest in the 2 o'clock hour, who is critically acclaimed novelist Kent Haroff. His previous bestseller was Plain Song. The new one looks like it's going to do very well. It is set in Colorado. He lives in Colorado. The new book is called Eventide. He'll be live with us in studio. And he's going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight, 7:30, at a book signing. And they're expecting so many people that tickets are going to be handed out at 6:30, one per person in line. So you're going to have to get there early. And he will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour, as I said. I'll be on TV this weekend on Saturday night, Channel 12 at 10 o'clock. On Sunday night, Channel 12 at 11 o'clock. So I hope you have a chance. If you're not doing anything else, you can watch. I'll be curious to see what it is, too, because I haven't seen any of it. And tomorrow we're going to be joined by Ron Chernow, who is the National Book Award winning author and historian. Brand new biography of Alexander Hamilton is number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list. He's going to be joining us live in studio next week. I think it's tentative, but I think we're going to have NPR host Bob Edwards joining us. He has a new book out on Edward R. Murrow. and the birth of broadcast journalism. And Friday, just in time for Memorial Day, barbecue guru John Head, who has a PhD in barbecue, and he's going to teach us how to do it and do it right and do it effectively. Also, I want to call your attention to Soar High School's annual auction and fundraiser, and that's this Sunday, 4:30 to 9:30 in the Turn Hall Room at Tivoli Student Union on the Auraria campus. If you want tickets or information, 720-887-9033. Soar High is bringing in Paul Williams, the songwriter, celebrity songwriter, singer, composer. I mean, he's won everything. I think he's won an Oscar, a Grammy, Golden Globe. We've Only Just Begun is one of his songs. And Soar High School is Denver's, or Colorado's really, only sobriety and recovery high school. So if you have an interest in that, that is this coming Sunday night. They do an annual fundraiser, and Paul Williams will be there helping them to raise money for what sounds like a really good cause. I was with friends last night, and some of them from different parts of the country, some friends in from out of town. And here was something that came up in the conversation. One of the numbers, the poll numbers that we talked about this week, suddenly going up, as Bush's numbers are going down, as Kerry stays going up a little bit, but essentially it's a dead heat between Kerry and Bush, the one number that is rising is the number of undecideds. Remember we talked about that? And I thought that that number came from the fact that there are a lot of Republicans who feel that they now cannot vote for Dickey for president. But they can't yet bring themselves to vote for Kerry. And so they're calling themselves undecided. And that was part of the conversation last night, because a couple of people said, oh, they knew really committed Republicans who won't vote for Bush, but also won't vote for Kerry, who are probably going to sit it out. Now, there is some time between now and the election, and things will unfold, and somehow what looks murky will become clear. But my question is, those of you who are Republican, who won't vote for Bush, but also can't bring yourselves to vote for Kerry, what would it take? Are you in that camp? Are you just going to sit it out? And if enough people do sit out that part of the election, what happens? What happens to Kerry? What happens to Bush? Does this mean that it's easier for Bush to win? Or does it mean that it's easier for Kerry to win? Or is it a null? Does it not mean anything? 303-382-1150. The question also is, What is Kerry going to have to do to get Republicans and others, but also the disaffected Republican vote? What's he going to have to do to get that vote? I think the bottom line is he's got to be cooler than Dickey, and he certainly seems more statesmanlike to me. And this stuff that's spiraling out of control in Iraq has given me, I think, possibly false hope that Dickey is going to be toast by the next election. But that's all it may be, is false hope. And in a related but unrelated story, the issue that I'm concerned about is the voting in November, and I'm also concerned about e-voting and touchscreen voting. Well, there's a big story in the Seattle Weekly, and the feds want to know who's been visiting the website of voting watchdog Beth Harris at blackboxvoting.org. And we have had her on many times. So I don't know if they're going to come knocking on our door or what, but in the past 20 months, I'll share this with you. This is in Seattle Weekly, which I think you can just get online, seattleweekly.com. In the past 20 months, Bev Harris has become the go-to person for any stories about e-voting, touch voting, etc. Following the advice of her lawyer, she's not going to talk publicly about the government's investigation. Remember, she was under a gag order the last time she was on the show with us. Her reporting on the problems with new computer voting machines has been a key component in a national grassroots movement to safeguard voting. Her astounding discoveries have resulted in important studies by distinguished computer scientists. She has been leaked thousands of pages of internal memos from Diebold Election Systems, one of the country's leading electronic voting companies. She is frequently cited by newspapers across the country. She's a guest on local TV, national TV, radio stations, and so forth. And now she claims the government wants our names, forum messages, and computer addresses. The investigation began last October when Vote Here, an electronic voting software company in Washington, reported that a hacker broke into its computer network. We didn't think it was a very big deal, said the owner. However, the FBI and Secret Service are investigating the matter. Crime is a crime is a crime, and they wonder if the hacker was politically motivated and was somehow involved in the leak of internal documents at Diebold. Now, remember, Diebold, the owner of Diebold, is committed to bringing in Dickey as the president, bring him in next election as president again for another term. He is a pioneer, a Bush pioneer, which means he's raised in excess of $100,000 for the Bush campaign. And he owns Diebold, a computer voting firm, e-voting firm, that is widely used. The state of California decertified. They won't allow it. They are recommending Diebold for criminal prosecution for lying to public officials. And the software is riddled with problems, according to the research that we have seen. So, apparently, this is somehow perhaps related to the leak of internal documents at Diebold that somehow found their way onto a website. Last September, Bev Harris was the first person to publicly post the Diebold memos, which contain a variety of embarrassing internal emails on the Internet. The resulting furor produced a wave of bad publicity for Diebold. Kevin Shelley, who's the California Secretary of State, banned the use of Diebold's voting machines in four California counties, called on the state attorney general to investigate the corporation for allegedly lying to public officials about testing and federal certification of its products. A month after she posted the Diebold memos, Bev Harris was emailed a link that would take her to stolen Vote Here software. She did not click on the link because she thought someone was trying to entrap her. 4 months earlier, Vote Here had announced their intention to release their software for public examination. Why would anyone in their right mind grab the stuff in some clandestine manner when it was being released into the open momentarily, she writes. So anyway, she is under, she is being investigated by the government. We don't exactly know where this is going to go, but one of the fears we have in November is that all this touch voting and e-voting, the research tells us it can be hacked without leaving any trail at all. The tallies can be altered, and the software is riddled with problems. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Going back to my question, what will it take if you're undecided, if you're a Republican who can't bear to vote for Dickey but can't also yet bear to vote for Kerry, what's it going to take to move you off the dime? Bruce, on a cell, first-time caller, welcome to Enid Live, and we have something for you.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. I was actually going to sit out the election because I'm not a big fan of George Bush. But
did you vote for him the last time?
What's that?
Did you vote for him the last time?
Yes.
Okay. But not this time.
You know what? It's really, and the more I think about it, you know, and I almost, you know, I was committed to it, but I find Senator Kerry to be pretty contemptuous. So
why?
You know, it's the worst.
Why is he more contemptuous than Dickey?
Do you have an hour?
Well, give me the headlines.
What's that? There's a man that has played every side of every issue possible, and you know, I believe he's a tax and spend liberal. I think he's demonstrated that. He's voted against every major military appropriation of the last 10 years.
Wait. You're against his spending, but you want him to vote for every military appropriation?
No. I didn't say every. I just said
threw that cliche in there, tax and spend, but you're mad at him because he voted against some of these military appropriations.
I shouldn't say that. When I say contempt, I mean in a political sense.
I know. And I don't mean that you were like furious with him in that sense. But you have to know that some of those military appropriations bills were larded with tremendous amounts of pork.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of just spending money on military appropriations just for the sake of it.
Yeah, but you're not distinguishing between the pork-laden ones that he may have voted against for that reason and the others. All right, what else don't you like about him?
Like I say, I think he has played every issue. I mean, I think he's as big a liar as George Bush has been. You know, my problem.
What has he lied about? What do you think he's lied about?
As far as the slap. I mean, just for example, without pulling every resource I can at the moment, because I'm driving my car. This issue over the medals Did he throw his medals? Did he not? Was it Bruce?
Was it ribbons?
Was it
Bruce?
Bruce.
What difference? You know, why is that even an issue? He served, and he served honorably, and he was decorated, which is more than Dickie did, more than George W. Bush did, who couldn't even manage to make it to the National Guard to do the last year or two of his service. So how can you even put those on the same? How are they even on the same plane?
As far as what? Because George Bush was in the National Guard?
George Bush ducked his service, and John Kerry is a decorated military man who didn't duck, who went willingly to Vietnam. So what he did with his medals afterward, he had the right to do whatever he wanted to do. Who cares?
19 of 21 of his superiors wouldn't want to have anything to do with him.
That's not true. That is not really true. There are a whole bunch of people who say he saved their lives, and the Republicans found a handful who didn't like him and who are disgruntled. But that aside, let me ask you a question. That aside, you've got one man who served honorably and in a distinguished way and won a whole bunch of medals, 3 Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star, a Silver Star, and then you had Dickie who ducked out every way he could. He ducked service by going to the National Guard, and then he ducked. When you just compare those two forms of behavior, what do you see? Tell me.
But you're putting such a different spin. He ducked this, he ducked that. You know, I mean.
Well, he did.
There are people that were there that when John Kerry got one of his medals, they said he was shooting at rocks and got hit with a blowback. You know, I mean, at this point,
Bruce, he went and
I want to call it. I cannot imagine a Kerry in the White House extracting us from that in a manner that I don't want to say that. Well, he could do it efficiently. Just pull us out and let come hell or high water.
All right, now let's
animals take over.
Let me ask you then.
It would be in worse chaos.
All right. Let me ask you. You were not in favor of the war.
No.
Okay, so you're not too happy about it.
No.
All right. So you've got the headline of this week's Time magazine. It said, the president who led us into war, can he get us out? That's the question. And you don't have the faith that Kerry can do it. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't have the faith that Kerry can do it, no.
Do you think, who do you think will be better on the economy?
Oh, Bush, definitely.
But he's taken the world's, the biggest surplus in our history, and he's turned it into the biggest deficit in our history. So
well,
why do you,
you
think
what?
He would be better on the economy? He's had 4 years to be better, and he's only made it worse.
And you think that Kerry would have done better by what?
I think anybody would have done. I would have done better. Bruce, elect
George,
me president.
Unfortunately, I think he's done.
How much are they paying for that job now? $400,000 a year? I'll take it.
What's that?
Never mind.
I think George Bush, inherited a bad situation.
He inherited the world. He inherited the biggest surplus in the history of this country.
He inherited a recession. He was heading. We were 6 months into recession by every major economist.
Okay, so
at the time we were 6 months in when he came into office.
All right, so then let me
listen. I'm not a big fan of his, but
set me straight here. He inherits the world's the biggest surplus in our history. But okay, let's say your version is right, and we're on the verge of a recession.
The surplus that was going to go into decline no matter what.
All right.
Let me
just ask you some questions here. Okay. He. Let's say we're going to go into decline, just as you paint this picture.
Yeah.
So, and we're not only on the verge of a possible, we certainly were on the verge of a tech bubble bursting. We'd had that, no question about it. And we are also on the verge of a war. And so given those scenarios and this huge surplus that could go away, we cut taxes for the richest Americans, and we amp our spending for military and going to war. Does that sound like a really good prescription for being a good caretaker of the economy?
Well, I can't deal with. I already gave you my opinion on the war. But
I know
as far
you
as taxes. It's the what is it? The top 5% are paying 80% of the taxes.
No,
anyway,
but
I mean,
you're listening to too much conservative radio, Bruce. You sound like you're really reasonable, and maybe you really are reasonable. But what you have done is memorize stuff that is completely cant, and it doesn't have anything to do with reality. I'm so sorry to have to say this because you sound like a lovely man. But we'll leave it there. You can have the last word. You can tell me again that George Bush is a better steward of the economy. You want to say it again, Bruce?
George Bush is a better steward of the economy than Senator Kerry would be.
And you know this because the last 4 years we have the worst economic problems, historic deficits, and you don't even know what Kerry would do, but you still think that George Bush would be a better steward of the economy.
That's part of Kerry's problem. He won't take a position. You know, he's all things to all men, to all people.
Well, I might not disagree with you on that one. I thank you for the call. Now, what do you think about what Bruce had to say? What do you think about, he says Dickie is better for the economy than Kerry's going to be. Well, given past performance, which, as they say in the stock market business, is no indicator of future performance. What do you say? William, calling from a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid. I shouldn't be driving. I'm just absolutely in shock that God bless Bruce for calling and at least trying out a little bit of liberal radio. That just makes sense. If you read Franken's book, I swear to God, I'll leave telephone numbers. If he doesn't like Franken's book, I'll buy it. He's speaking, being Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, but you know, all of these guys are complete liars.
Well, here's what's disturbing. He's listening to the same bilge that is being regurgitated by all these guys. But the worst part of it is he's not using, and he sounds like a bright guy. He's bright enough to know that he shouldn't vote for Bush in the next election. But he is not using his critical thinking here, because I think, again, it's like when you're so in love with somebody, you don't want to be proven wrong. Well, you're going to go for a trial separation, but you're never going to admit to anybody that you were so wrong that you should have voted Democratic in the first place.
Well, you laid it out beautifully for him, as you usually do. And that's the thing about Enid Goldstein, speaking to your listeners now, that the difference being is that Enid just doesn't take, you know, something for face value. She actually investigates it and gives you the truth, not the crap that you hear, on Limbaugh's show or Bill O'Reilly or that hideous Sean Hannity, who ought to be strung up for what he says on television. And what's more frightening is there's so many people who aren't interested in politics that listen to this and will vote Bush. Just because, you know, that's what I did in the last election, you know, but by the same token, they're blissfully ignorant, and they don't have to get as upset as I am, about stuff like this. I mean, politics is just infuriating me, but I can't get away from it. It's turned into a problem, and the only solace I have is being able to listen to your show either on computer or when I'm driving.
Well, thank you, but don't get into the red zone and drive safely, and tell your friends about the show and the station.
Absolutely.
All
Thanks
right.
for having me on, Enid.
Thank you, William. 303-382-1150. That opens up one line. The lines are full, but they will open up. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
Imagine that this music was a picture created by an ordinary printer. Now imagine it was created by an Epson printer. Well, over time you'd see even more differences. Because only Epson's DuraBright inks resist damage from water, smudging, and sunlight. So long after others fade, ours would still rock on.
I saw her. I finally saw her. For years, everyone kept telling me she's brilliant. She's magnificent. She can do anything. But I never saw her. They kept saying, she's amazing. You have to see her. Then it happened. I saw her myself, and they were right. I am magnificent. I am brilliant. I am amazing.
The Women's College at the University of Denver gives working women like you the opportunity to reinvent your career and follow your dreams. You can earn a full DU degree by taking classes every other weekend from DU professors at our new state-of-the-art Chambers Center. Call 303-871-6848 to fulfill your dreams in a true university setting, or visit womenscollege.du.edu.
Our enhanced financial aid packages make a DU education more affordable than ever. Call 303-871-6848 for a free registration packet. In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street, and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors. Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street. A unique experience right in the heart of Lodo. Call now for tickets. Your ticket price includes dinner. This unique show is running only for a short time, so don't miss your chance. Call 303-297-9600.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring seven-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron and Megan will talk about cycling news, equipment, and great local rides. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France like Ron Kiefel, or in Megan's case, just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for everyone, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Cahill, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are still not doing much of anything in this final hour of trading. Investors seem content to sit on the sidelines, as they have most of the day. They're weighing concerns about the day's economic reports, oil prices, and Iraq. Right now, the Dow is up 13 points, the Nasdaq higher by just 1 point. The latest Philly Fed survey shows manufacturing growth cooling down in that part of the country. The experts were expecting a small decline, but the number came in much lower. April's leading economic indicators only rose 0.1%. The report suggests less robust growth for the economy 6 months down the road. Oil futures are down a bit, but not so much that Wall Street is getting all excited. Airline industry watchers say if oil stays above $40 a barrel, carriers will lose an estimated $5 billion this year. Not good for a sector recovering from the economic slowdown, terrorism, and the war in Iraq. Once again, the Dow is up 16 points, the Nasdaq higher by 1 point. Mike Cahill, CNBC, Business Radio.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the n sound. Only the m sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue. You tell them. Just like Moo Nestle Coffee Mate half and half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the Easy Pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
Have you got your Goodyears? Get to your participating Goodyear retailer now through June 5th while all Goodyear tires are on sale. You'll save big on every Goodyear brand tire in stock. Plus, buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to a $60 rebate. And while you're there, check out Goodyear's new Assurance brand of passenger tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to a $60 rebate, keep your car in step. Get your Goodyears today. Mail-in offer ends June 5th.
The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:32 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And we are talking about, the lines are full, there's one line open, and let's see, where are those? Oh, here it is. Strip clubs are registering voters using... Strip club owners around the country are throwing their garters into the presidential campaign. It's part of an effort by a trade organization for adult nightclubs to defeat President Bush in the fall. They're urging patrons to take their eyes off the forms on stage at least long enough to fill out a voter registration form and then vote against the president. In a letter to the owner of nearly 4,000 strip clubs, Michael Ocello of the Association of Club Executives says everything must be done to defeat the president, or re-defeat him, and what's called Bush's ultra-conservative administration. So strip club owners are targeting you for the next the election, and they're asking you to take your eyeballs off the forums on stage long enough to fill out your registration forms because they're trying to defeat Bush. So if you're going to amble over to the Diamond Cabaret, you might also get yourself registered to vote there. 303-382-1150. Is just in. George Bush's gave a keynote address at a big black tie event at the American Conservative Union. But despite a 40-minute oration and a lot of, applause, some people would not stand up, and a number of them are conservatives. And the information is that despite he's 81% of Republican voters who say they're committed to Bush, 20% are not. And when you look at this tight race, one out of five Republicans cannot say flatly that they support Bush. It could spell defeat for him in this tight election year. So some of his own people are having problems supporting him. 303-382-1150. Joe, in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid. I just have to tell Bruce that he might stop listening to the Bush ads, or at least not take them at face value. Or maybe you ought to turn off Fox and turn off Sean Hannity and listen to some facts, or get the facts from somewhere else other than conservative talk radio. I'll tell you what Kerry won't do. He won't say he's a uniter, not a divider, and then turn this country into the most polarized it's been since the Civil War. He won't run up the highest deficit in history. He won't say that he's not a nation builder and then turn this country into the world's greatest imperialistic power right now. I mean, everything Bush has said when he was running for election in 2000, he's gone against everything he said.
That's true. You're right about that. He lied to us. And he lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. And he lied to us about how much the Medicare prescription drug benefit would cost.
Well, he doesn't give the people the true facts. I mean, he hid the cost of that Medicare pharmaceuticals from Congress when they voted on it. It turned out to be over 100,000 more than what he said it would be.
You're right. And more than that, I think.
Or 100 million.
You're right. It was closer to 550 million or so.
He said something like 400-something million, and it turned out to be 500-something million.
Yeah, almost 600 million.
Yeah, it's the most secretive administration, I think, in history.
Joe, I thank you for the call. You nailed it. 303-382-1150. That opens up one line. And you can go to the johncarry.com to find out what his tax position is and what his economic plans are laid out in pretty intricate detail. And then if you go to johncarry.com, George Bush's broken promise to create jobs. So if you wonder what John Kerry's economic plans are, go to his website, 303-382-1150. Joe in Bailey, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150.
How are you, Enid?
Good, Joe.
2 points I want to make about what Bruce said, and the first one is that this bogus information about economic conditions at the time that Bush took office, I've been making a living watching economic indicators for over 20 years, and one of the important things that people seem to forget is that even when we were trying to impeach Bill Clinton, the markets held up extremely well and didn't seem to have any problem because they had confidence. This is well beyond the indicators that we watch every day.
Are you a broker? What do you do? Are you an economist?
No, I sell mortgages in the secondary market. So I sell millions of dollars worth of mortgages, and I have to know when to sell by watching economic indicators.
You know, the stock market has been called an oscillation between optimism and pessimism. Are you going to second that?
Yeah, absolutely, because oftentimes the indicators in the market do not dictate the movement of the market because the traders, the bond traders, the stock traders, they don't necessarily feel that they should trade based on a particular number. So oftentimes the market doesn't watch the numbers, and this has been extreme over the last 6 or 7 years. It's more about what people feel in their gut and confidence level. And during the Clinton administration, we had this tremendous confidence, even though people didn't like him, that everything was going to be okay even when we were trying to impeach him. And what people forget is that the week after the Supreme Court installed Bush as president, that both he and Dick Cheney, in totally separate speeches, came out and said the economy was terrible, the economy was headed for a big fall, and people listened, even though it wasn't necessarily true. And if Bruce was hanging his hat on the fact that we were in a recession before Bush took office, then I'd like to know why, since all the economic indicators and all the professionals say that this recession has now been over for 18 months, how he can hang his hat on Bush's economic record.
Well, I am astounded myself, and I am not an economist, and I have not been watching the markets as closely as you say that you have been watching them. But what you're describing here on a different level is what's called the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
They came out because they were going to manipulate it, this information in some way, to tell us that the markets were so terrible, and then people began to lose confidence, and then the markets became terrible in a crash of self-fulfilling information.
Well, if you look at it logically, it's exactly what you said. We're sitting on this tremendous budget surplus. So even if we thought we were in a recession, normal people would look at it and say, well, okay, we can handle it because we got tons of money in our checkbook and everything's going to be okay. But we didn't, because the president and the vice president told the case. And then you have to go back to Paul O'Neill and Larry Lindsey, who both got fired because they didn't agree with what Bush and Cheney
were. And because they told the truth. In Larry Lindsey's case, he said how much it was going to cost to go to war, and they got very angry at that, and that was the end of it for him, just like General Eric Shinseki said it's going to be several hundred, you're going to need 200,000 to 300,000 people to fight the war, and that was it for him. They offloaded him. Not
right.
One of them went to his retirement party. So this is a very vindictive, well, all you need to know about how vindictive they are, how nasty and what long memories they have, is that they outed Valerie Plame, putting her life and her network's life at risk. Joe, I thank you so much for the call.
Enid,
yeah.
The point that he made, though, about Kerry out of Iraq is
We're losing you. You're breaking up, Joe. Call us again. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
1:40. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy in 72 now. Colorado teachers are protesting what they call unfair contract proposals. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Road closure if you're heading up into the foothills this afternoon. Report comes to you service of AutoZone. Kenosha Pass is closed because a semi-tanker truck, supposedly fully loaded, rolled over and caught fire. A lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. A very, very good area to stay away from. A little closer to town, freeway traffic moving along in good shape. Posted speeds for the most part. Accident on the ramp from Quebec to eastbound I-70 still in the clearing stages. And CDOT crew is still trying to clean up a load of sand that was dropped in traffic in both directions along I-25 at Highway 66. This weekend at AutoZone, pick up an electric fuse tester kit with an assortment of spare fuses for just $7.99. That's 20% off the regular price while supplies last at AutoZone. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
About 500 Denver teachers held a rally prior to today's Denver School Board meeting. The teachers are upset about a second year without pay raises. Statewide, many teachers say they've been presented with unfair contract proposals. Dozens of older teachers called in sick protesting a contract proposal that would cut 60% of teachers' salaries. This report brought to you by Tyson. The governor has signed into law the Ozone Action Plan, which is designed to lower ozone levels in 7 metro area counties, along with 2 in northern Colorado. All 9 counties have to lower ozone levels by 2007 to meet new federal standards. The plan calls for restrictions to be placed on oil and gas emissions and mandates that lower volatility gasoline be sold in Colorado. U.S. Representative Tom Tancredo wants to tax money that is sent to countries south of the border by people working in the U.S. According to a report, $30 billion goes to those countries each year. Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:42.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk. Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy and a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. More of the same for tonight. The overnight temperature down into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, some afternoon thunderstorms possible. Tomorrow's high in the low 80s. Partly cloudy and 72 now. KNRC news time is 1:44. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I need to call XL Roofing right now.
Wait! I'm on hold with Sid's Tattoos and Roofs. They're going to give me a better deal.
I told you I don't want a free tattoo.
Hold on. Yeah,
Sid. You'll give us two free tattoos with a new roof. Wow.
Wow. You should get sucker tattooed on your forehead.
But we get two. Where are you going to put yours? How about on your right?
We are not getting tattoos. Give me the phone. I'm calling XL Roofing right now. Hello, XL.
Don't be a sucker when it comes to your new roof. Hi, this is Jay with XL Roofing. At XL, there are no gimmicks. Just a great roof at a great price. Call XL Roofing at 303-761-6400. XL has over 7,000 satisfied customers in the Front Range. Remember, at XL you won't pay a dime until your roof is done and you're fully satisfied. Call XL Roofing at
303-761-6400. XL Roofing, we're on top of it.
Attention seniors.
Congrats, class of 2004. You made it.
Oh, thanks. Stop blubbering.
From AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC.
When he was running for Congress the very first time, his mother told me, Barbara Bush, said, never criticize George's speeches. So I really took her advice to heart, and I'd never criticized any of his speeches until one night we were driving into our driveway, and he said, tell me the truth, how was my speech? And I said, well, it wasn't that good. And with that, he drove into the driveway, drove into the garage wall.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:45 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. He should have kept driving, as far as I'm concerned. He's sending her out to shore up his poll numbers. And according to Laura, in a survey sponsored by a music education firm, she's going to try and remedy this situation. But here's a really depressing statistic. 61% of Americans do not know all the words to the Star Spangled Banner. 61% of Americans, we are becoming a country too dumb to breathe and to sing the Star Spangled Banner. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. The question is, a lot of Republicans feel that they're not going to be able to vote for Dickey, but a lot of them can't bring themselves to vote for Kerry. If they stay home, what's this going to do the election? If you're the one who's sitting on the fence, what will it take to get you to vote for Kerry? And some of these people calling in, I mean, this is just amazing to me. Some of the things you think about Kerry, that he couldn't decide about his medals and he threw them away and he didn't throw them away. They were his medals. He could do what he wants. He could flush them down the toilet if he wanted to, but he earned them, which is more than you can say for Dickey. Dickey didn't want to go. Preston calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
Maybe this time around some of the Republicans will vote for someone like Nader. In fact, that's what my dad did last time.
And don't do it. Don't vote for Nader. A vote for Nader is a vote for Bush.
Well, I don't think so.
Yes, it is. Preston.
It provides people that option where they can't bring themselves, as you were saying.
Then they're going to reelect. They're going to reelect Bush because they say, oh, my conscience, I can't do it for Kerry. Then you know what? Don't vote. Stay home.
Well, anyway,
That's not really what I wanted to talk about. Your previous caller, Bruce, was talking about the health of the economy. And I think from where he's coming, he might mean the economy, you know, of his own personal finances. And if he's in a lot of fields, like some pharmaceuticals and maybe some military-related stuff or some oil, I think he has reason to believe that George Bush would be good for his economy. But the larger economy, there are serious stresses. I mean, in Perfectly Legal, that author that you interviewed talks about the tax burden on the lower classes and the middle
David
classes.
K. Johnston.
Yes.
I know. It's
so, you know, we have this myth that, you know, the top 5% are paying all this money, when in fact it's most of the population, and the people at the very top are being provided all sorts of welfare themselves.
That's right. And really, actually, I think a lot of the middle class keeps this country afloat.
Exactly. And the sad thing is, we have a Republican who's supposed to be anti-taxes, Tom Tancredo, working to tax some of the most vulnerable, economic insecure people in the society, immigrants, economic refugees, basically, because the global economy is creating such.
Well, that's gotta get tossed out, because he's weighing taxing money that is sent out of the country. That means that these immigrants are going to be taxed twice.
That's
they're taxed
right.
on what they make in this country, and then they're taxed if they send it out to Mexico, and then it's taxed when it gets to Mexico. This can't be good, and I think corporations that send money out of the country would be screaming about it too if there are enough of them. So I agree with you on that one, Preston. I thank you for the call. 303-321-1150. Stephen calling from Highlands Ranch. First time caller. Welcome to Enid Live, and here's a kiss.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to comment on U.S. What does Kerry need to do? I think you kind of hit on it earlier when you pointed out the way he voted on some of those like pork-laden bills, and I think a lot of people really don't understand how that works. That, you know, if like for all accounts, this highway bill that they're going to vote on is just disgustingly laden with pork-laden bills, but if you go on record as voting against it, which I think most people should, you know, you are going on record maybe against breast cancer research in some, you know, way.
Well, they can twist it and they can spin it and say you're anti-military.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I mean, I guess what I want to say is the Bush campaign has done a great job at pinning that on him. You know, that's one of the big things you have against you if you're a congressman or a long-standing senator and you run for president, is that they can just go back and look at all these things, and maybe it's the courageous thing. I'm using the highway example now because that's got like 100 things attached to it. But if you vote against it, you know, they're going to bring that up 10 years that you're not for this military spending. And the other thing, I guess that's the VP choice, I think, is going to be a huge factor. Who he picks, and he's going to look at these numbers, and he's going to try to get some people to get those Republicans. I mean, if these numbers keep trending this way, he can get so much momentum. He could get two.
Let me share something with what one of the listeners brought up, and I have the transcript of it. A reporter asked something to Dennis Hastert about John McCain, and Hastert said, "Who?" And the reporter says, "John McCain." And the reporter says, and Hastert says, "Where is he from?" And the reporter says, "He's a Republican from Arizona." Well, and Hastert says, "A Republican?"
Yeah, the poor guy is, I mean, I feel bad for McCain because the Democrats are using him right now, because what they're doing is they're throwing his name out there even though he's not going to be on the ticket. You know, they keep saying, a joint ticket between them. And they just want to illustrate that this Republican over here, this really well-respected Republican, is actually more probably in tune with what Kerry would do than Bush. And now the Republicans are slapping McCain back.
Well, I would love to see, to tell you the truth, I would love to see a Kerry McCain ticket. I think it would be a blockbuster. Stephen, I thank you for the call. 303-321-1150, Dave in Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I was just wanted to make the point that it seems like every conservative I talk to knows no facts at all. They're completely ignorant. Anything they pretend to know, they got from a right-wing talk show. I was talking to one, and we got in an argument, and I said, "Well, when Clinton got out of office, we had no deficit." And he says, "Prove that." No way. You know, now isn't that true?
No, there was not. There was. We had historic surpluses.
Yeah.
So if you have a surplus, you don't have a deficit.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then, so anyway, that's my point, is these people don't know anything, and they and the, where they get their information, they need to get
All right,
it
so that someone tell me, how do you handle it with some of these people? They say, well, when you show them the reporting, then they say, I don't believe it. And then what do you say to that? What can you do there?
Yeah, they'll sit and call you a liar and say it's a liberal press.
It's a liberal press. You see, showed it out of the newspaper of record, and they say, I don't believe it.
Yeah,
well, so you say, you know what, but that comes from government documents. I don't believe it. You're a liar. It's a liberal press. You're right, Dave. Thanks for the call. 303-321-1150. Tonight, Joanne Astro is reporting in her column, Channel 6, Frontline. The respected public TV documentary series examines Dickey's evangelical Christianity and how his religious beliefs affect his governance. The show is called The Jesus Factor, and I think it aired earlier on PBS stations. I don't know that it aired here in Denver. It may not have because there was a begathon. There was a begathon, so maybe everything, because I know Prime Suspect, the new one, didn't air here yet. So whether it did or it didn't, it is airing tonight, 9 o'clock on Channel 6. You might want to see it. I've heard really good things about it. From his efforts to change the relationship between church and state to his rallying of the conservative Christian voting bloc for 2004, Bush's faith-based politics are recounted. And I think it's in this interview when someone said, you talked to your father, he says, I talked to my bigger father, you know, essentially the omnipotent, all-knowing father upstairs in heaven. That's, I think, where he makes the comment. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Ina Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Ina Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
This weekend at AutoZone, pick up an electronic fuse tester kit with an assortment of spare fuses for only $7.99. That's 20% off the regular price. While supplies last at AutoZone.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live and work together every day, so I have to look at Judy's face a lot.
You don't think I get a little sick of your puss? That's why we leave the care of our faces to the wonderful staff of Denver Skin Aesthetics.
Their experienced nurses and medical estheticians are supervised by board-certified plastic surgeons. They provide full skin care services, and unlike spas and salons, they can medically evaluate and treat everything from acne to wrinkles and age spots.
How about injectables? Denver Skin Aesthetics offers Botox and the newest in cosmetic facial fillers, collagen, Restylane, and Radiance. Buy a unit of one of these fillers and they will store any leftovers for future touch-ups for free.
Mention Style Matters Live and KNRC and Denver Skin Aesthetics will give you 10% off your first filler and 20% off your first Botox treatment.
You lucky listener, you. Call Denver Skin Aesthetics today at 303-830-7200. That's 303-830-7200.
Denver Skin Aesthetics, making you a better you. Why wait any longer to look better?
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. You know, I like to tell you about new and valuable things I learn, and the latest is a new website called LocatingMe.com. This is a service that keeps you connected to anyone, anywhere, at any time. For example, if you're someone like me who travels a lot, you might wish to leave detailed information about your flight, where you are staying, and contact numbers that only those you want to know can find on the site. I could see this would be great, not only for traveling, but also to access important information in the time of an emergency. Each member of your family will receive a personalized ID card with their name, emergency contact number, and any brief medical info. The access ID number and password on the card will provide access to the information provided by you or your family. For example, a medical emergency, emergency personnel could go to the site with your card and find detailed info about any conditions, allergies, or medications. I could see this would also be good for that college student who's away from home to keep in communication with you. It is only $29 per year, up to 6 members of your family. Check it out at locatingme.com. I think you'll find this could be a valuable tool for you. Locatingme.com. A new way to stay in touch.
Introducing new Nestle Coffee Mate Half and Half in a new easy pour container. That's quite enough, Cal. Thank you. So try new Coffee Mate Half and Half in utterly delicious hazelnut, new vanilla, and of course, original. Not moo, new. New Coffee Mate Half and Half. It's all the rich flavor you expect from coffee's perfect mate in a real dairy creamer. Look for the package in the refrigerator section. Good job.
Still taking Claritin? Join the millions of allergy sufferers who've discovered non-drowsy Allivert. Quick-dissolving Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. Wow, that's fast. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, wherever you are. Try non-drowsy 24-hour relief, even Claritin can't beat, without a prescription. Quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are.
Hi, this is Tim Brown, CEO of NRC Broadcasting, inviting you to join me and AM 1150 KNRC for the inaugural U.S. Half Marathon Sunday, June 6th at Cherry Creek Reservoir. It's a benefit for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Registration is available online at www.rundenver.com. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of history. Please join me in running Mile High's first U.S. Half Marathon on Sunday, June 6th in the beautiful surroundings of Cherry Creek State Park. AM 1150 KNRC is proud to be a charter sponsor of the U.S. Half Marathon Denver. See you at Cherry Creek on Sunday the 6th.
She's the Rush alternative.
Didn't you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNIC.
Stop the lies! Stop the lies! Liar, liar,
liar, liar, pants on fire!
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Call the fire department. Is Dickie's pants on fire? I see this headline that on a story that's just House Democratic Leader Pelosi calls Bush, it sounds like impotent, but it's actually incompetent. She said that he has no judgment, no experience, and no knowledge of the subjects that he has to decide on. And Jill emails me, if the Republicans don't show up to vote for president, then that will help the Democrats pick up and keep Senate seats. Is that true, do you think? Also, I think Kerry is doing great in the polls when you consider that he's not been officially nominated yet, nor has he announced a running mate. People on the whole are not focused on the election yet. As we get closer, they will be, and that's when you probably will see Kerry's support pick up. I can't see things getting better for Bush anytime soon, so he will basically defeat himself. This is from Jill. Meanwhile, please keep doing what you are doing. I think you are reaching people every day, and as the election gets closer and people take more of an interest, they will turn to folks like you for info. From Jill. Well, I hope so. Tell your friends about my show, noon to 3, Monday through Friday. And the three things I asked you, what are those three stories? The military and those interrogations and the church telling you how to vote. And see you putting that report under the rug, that scathing report. The corruption of our large institutions. We like to think that we're uncorruptible around here. So I hope you'll think so, too. And tell your friends I'm Enid. One more hour of Enid right here on AM 1150.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Robert Hager. President Bush has told fellow Republicans on Capitol Hill there are bad days still to come in Iraq, but he's determined to turn power over to the Iraqis next month. Virginia Senator George Allen said it's just what he wanted to hear from the president.
He's resolved, and he's very firm on the June 30 date. How important that is to transfer that sovereignty. He's going to stand strong for freedom.
House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi is accusing the president of incompetence in his Iraq policy. She says he doesn't have the knowledge, judgment, or experience to help that country. U.S. and Iraqi forces have raided the home of Ahmad Shalabi, a member of the country's governing council. He says it's because he's been critical of American occupation, but officials accuse his political party of corruption. And Democratic attorneys general in 8 states are asking the Bush administration to help them find out if big oil companies are illegally pushing up gasoline prices. State officials say it's hurting consumers. I'm Robert Hager, NBC News Radio.
Seasonal allergies are in full bloom, Ragweed.
A great time to make them suffer, Pollen.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects are low and may include headache, cold, or backache.
Long-lasting Allegra takes the fun out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take once daily Allegra. The relief goes on.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 72 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Gas prices continue to rise in Colorado. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Big problems up in the foothills this hour. Report a service of AutoZone. Both directions of Highway 285 closed a mile south of Bailey because of a semi-tanker truck that flipped off the highway and caught fire. I understand there may be no injuries involved in this, thankfully, but the truck rolled very, very close to the Platte River, and we're told that the Denver Water Board is monitoring the water situation in that area. Highway 54, Colorado Highway 54, is the alternate route. And again, you can't get any farther south than 1 mile from Bailey because of this rollover tanker truck that still is on fire. This weekend at AutoZone, pick up an electric fuse tester kit with an assortment of spare fuses for $7.99. 20% off the regular price while supplies last at AutoZone. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Gas prices in the metro area are near $2 a gallon on average, and Colorado AAA spokeswoman Mary Greer says the increase in gas prices could put a hold on many people's holiday travel plans.
People may make different choices. One, they may decide not to take that one long big trip. They may take multiple shorter trips. And the other thing is that they might very well choose a vehicle that's more efficient to take on a longer road trip.
Gas prices could rise again as we near Memorial Day weekend. This report brought to you by Toyota Parts and Service. Some 500 Denver teachers protested a second year of no pay raises today prior to the Denver School Board meeting. Teachers across the state are upset over what they call unfair contract proposals. Ozone levels in 9 Colorado counties need to be reduced by 2007 to meet new federal standards. Today, Governor Bill Owen signed the Ozone Protection Plan, which is designed to reduce ozone levels through restrictions on oil and gas emissions and tighter controls on industrial engines. In sports, the Colorado Rockies and Cincinnati Reds wrap up their 3-game series tonight. Reds beat the Rocks 4-3 last night in 10 innings. Toyota owners win free gas for a year. No purchase required. Right now, buy 3 new tires, get the 4th at no charge. Ends 5/31. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
We know you're busy running your lives. That's why we'll keep up with what the government is trying to do to you.
What's going on here?
Denver's new generation of talk radio. AM 1150, KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We've got some nice warm weather here for the next several days right through the weekend. Unfortunately, we also have a chance for some isolated afternoon and evening thunderstorms for the next several days, and we could see some severe weather as we head into this evening. We'll top out around 76 for our high, our overnight low tonight 51. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free t-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air
as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150. KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
They have it on all the time.
KNRC. The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
As I look into your eyes, I tell you what I see. Girl, you're the one I'm going to keep in my dreams. I want to hold you close.
Pitiful. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:08, 8 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And with me live in studio is critically acclaimed novelist Kent Harif, who follows up his bestseller, Plain Song, with a return to the fictional community of Holt, Colorado as the setting for his new book, Eventide. He's going to be at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, tonight at 7:30, but they're expecting a huge crowd, so if you want to come to the book signing, you got to get there by 6:30. They're going to give out tickets, one per person in line. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ken.
It's great to be back here in Denver. Thank you.
Well, you live in Colorado.
We do. My wife and I, we grew up in Colorado. I grew up out on the plains in eastern Colorado, then later went to high school in Canyon City, where Kathy, my wife, and I met one another, and now we've come back after having been gone for a long time, and we live in the mountains out near Salida, Colorado.
Where were you living before you came back?
We were both in southern Illinois. I was teaching in the university down there.
Southern Illinois, not upstate, downstate.
No,
not,
if you've heard of the Salukis, Southern Illinois University Salukis. That's
well, I've seen Saluki dogs.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Is that
about.
What they are?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness. And what were you teaching at Southern Illinois?
I was teaching in the graduate writing program and the MFA program, fiction writing classes.
Do I get to tell you what Gore Vidal said that you've probably heard a million times? That my listeners have heard a million times. Gore Vidal once said that teaching has ruined more writers than drink. But apparently that doesn't apply to you. The new book, the previous book, was a big seller, and it was made into was it for television?
Yeah, Hallmark made it in one of their movies. It was shown on CBS, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Talk right into the microphone we can hear you, because you fade away when you move away. So it was Plain Song. And now you are, is Eventide a sort of continuation of Plain Song? Are the characters, tell us about the story, the book.
Well, it's, I resist the notion that it's a sequel, because usually sequels imply that that you're trying to cash in on some previous success. But, part of this new novel is a continuation of the lives of a couple of characters that were in the previous book. The McFerrin brothers, Harold and Raymond, who are old bachelor ranchers who live out in the country south of the fictional town of Holt. With them is a single mother now, a woman named Victoria Rubidoux, and her daughter. They were all in the story Plain Song. But before I had finished that book, I knew
they took in this young woman, didn't they?
They did.
Uh-huh.
And she at that time was pregnant and needed a place to go and some kind of a sanctuary. Well, they did take her in, and of course, that expanded their lives in ways that it had never been before, and it was good for everybody in that equation. Now it's 2 years later.
She had the baby.
She's going off to college in Fort Collins at CSU. So once again, they're alone, and they have to figure out how to deal with that.
And how old are they by this point?
Oh, they're early 70s. Harold's 2 years older than Raymond, so I think of Harold as being about 72. Raymond about 70.
Never married. Never wanted to be.
Well, they may have wanted, but they were so shy in retiring that they never had the first idea of how to go about meeting women or courting someone. So no, they've never married. And now in this novel, as I said, I'm trying to continue their stories. Before I finished Plainsong, I knew more about their story and that I wanted to continue it in this new book.
Can you give us a hint of what develops in the new book?
I can, but I don't want to give it away. There are some surprises in this new book. And as I said, I did know what was going to happen to them, and some of what happens in this new book is fairly painful. I think of this new book as being somewhat darker than Plainsong was. The title itself means evening or time of evening. It's an archaic word that was in use in the 1800s. It comes from an old hymn, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, O Lord, with me abide." And so I chose that word out of that phrase for this book because I do think it ends up in a kind of near darkness in several ways.
You're a great favorite of my friend Sybil Downing. She thinks you're just a fabulous writer.
Well, you tell Sybil thank you very much. She's generous.
Did you always know you were going to write?
No.
How did you come to it?
When I was an undergraduate, I began to study literature for the first time, and I had read a great deal as a kid, but I hadn't read anything that was wonderful, I suppose, in a mature way. When I got to American literature classes and read Faulkner and Hemingway for the first time, what they could do on the page shocked me, not the story so much, but the skill with language. And I've never gotten over that shock and didn't want to. So then I knew that I wanted to do something for the rest of my life with literature, with words. But I didn't know then I wanted to write. And when I went off to the Peace Corps in Turkey, I began to write some short stories then at night. And they were execrable. They were terrible things. But
And where are they? Are they in your papers that are going to be donated to someplace, or have they been burned?
Well, if they haven't been burned, they should be. But they're in some boxes somewhere, but they'd better not see the light of day. Anyway, at that time is when I began to try to make some stories. And then I later went on and studied writing in a more formal way as a student at the Writers' Workshop.
At Iowa?
Yeah.
And you studied with John Irving, I see, and
yeah.
Vance Burjale. How do you pronounce that?
Burjale.
And Dan Wakefield and others. Mm-hmm. And then you were 41 before you had any of your fiction published.
That's right. I served a long apprenticeship. I was a slow learner.
How did you support yourself until something was published?
In all kinds of ways. And, of course, I didn't make any money as a writer until fairly recently anyway. I did all kinds of things. I worked on construction. I built grain bins. I worked here in Denver shelving books out at the Cherry Creek Library.
Shelving books at the Cherry Creek Library?
I did, yep.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was back in the early 70s. And I was a house parent.
That was when they still had books in the Cherry Creek Library. Now it's DVDs and tapes and all kinds of stuff, and they don't have too many books over there.
Yeah. And at that time we were, you know, my wife and I, and we had our first daughter, and we lived down here on Bannock Street. We were poor. We were on food stamps.
Were you? Yeah. Was your wife able to work?
She worked some. She worked as a Head Start teacher. But then I began to teach school, and then later on, once I had published a couple of books, then I taught on a college level and later on at Southern Illinois, as I said, in the graduate program. And I wrote Plainsong while I was in Illinois.
Looking back over your life, the moments when it was difficult, did that make you a better writer? In other words, it wasn't handed to you. There were times when you were on food stamps. You had to support it in some way. You had to teach. You had to write around the edges of what you did in the rest of your life. Did that help? Did that hinder? Do you think in your fondest imaginings that if you'd had more time to write, a greater canvas to do it, you would have produced more, done better?
Well, to answer your last question, I think what happens is that you lose some of the stories that you might have told at that period in your life. You can't go back there. You don't feel the same way about things. But on the other hand, I don't regret that. I don't regret any of those things that happened to me and any of the jobs that I had. In many ways, I think of it as an opportunity to learn more about people in great many walks of life. And it made me absolutely adamant to write when I did have time. I became very disciplined and ruthless about my time, and my habit is to write every morning and to do something else in the afternoon. And so once I did have some time, I was quite determined not to waste it. And so, as you've already said, I took a long time to write anything that was good enough to publish, but all that time I was trying to learn how to write. And so now I am disciplined about my time.
I should think all the sweeter for having waited so long to be at an age where you would savor that success.
I think that's true. In some ways, it's satisfying to me that the success I've had, so such as it is, has been late in my life. And I've
well, better late than never.
Well, better late than never. I've told people that I'm so old that my neck's so stiff that it hasn't turned my head. So I guess I'm pleased now.
Now that you're at an age, do you want to tell us the age, or are we not talking about that?
Oh, no, I don't mind. I'm 61.
You're 61. Okay. Now that you're in an age where I'm assuming with your successful writing, you don't have to teach if you don't want to.
No, I no longer teach. I resigned my teaching position about 3 years ago, and as I said, Kathy, my wife, and I moved back to Colorado. We live in the mountains, and she's doing good work. She's the coordinator of hospice volunteers in Salida and at Chaffee County. So she's doing good work. And
I just did a mask for Denver Metro Hospice.
Did you?
Yeah, they had a mask thing where they auction them off and they'd raise money in that way.
Oh, terrific.
And mine's a very political mask. I thought they were going to put it in a corner somewhere, but they actually put it in a showcase. It's an outsourced Bush mask.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good for you. Anyway, yeah, what I started to say was that we both have good work to do and life is good.
With more time to write, are you writing more? Or is it still the same routine of writing in the mornings, taking the afternoons off?
Yeah, that's still my routine. I finish a book a little more quickly, I suppose, than I did previously. This last book, Eventide, took about 2.5 years to finish. The previous book I'd written over a 6-year period. So in that way, things are sped up a little bit, but writing's still slow for me.
What advice do you give to writers? Is there any advice? Can you teach writing, really?
Well, I know what I've heard Gore Vidal say that stuff before, and that sounds like kind of a smart-ass thing to say on his part.
Well, he's made a career of being a smart-ass.
Of course he has. But he's a good writer, too.
I have reviewed some of his fiction, and some of his, I prefer his nonfiction to his fiction.
I would agree with you. I think it's superior. My advice to young writers or to any writers is to obviously to read all you can, but you have to learn how to read like a writer reads. That is, you're not reading for entertainment any longer, but you're reading to learn something as you read down the page. All the time you're reading down the page, you're trying to figure out what that writer has done and whether it works or not. And you get so that unless somebody does something with authority in the first couple of paragraphs, you don't read any farther. There's so much good to read, you don't want to waste your time on something that seems...
And what are you looking for when you say done with authority?
There's a kind of sound. There's a kind of indication. I don't even know how to define that. But you can recognize it if you've read enough and paid it attention closely enough to what's done on the
book. You know, I would second that. I get tons of books.
Yeah.
From publishers. We're doing a book giveaway right now, and what isn't given away, a book swap, what doesn't move here for the staff will be donated to the press club because they have various book sales throughout the year, and it benefits the press club. So I'm always happy to donate books, and I donate books to libraries. And when I look at the first few pages, even the first couple of paragraphs really tell the story. There's just a feel to it. You can see where it's going to not take you anywhere, but maybe be an entertainment for as long as you can stand to stay with it, and maybe not even that. And other books just leap right out at you and tell you that they have secrets to share and wisdom to impart.
Exactly. And I'm sure you are that kind of reader. It seems to me that, as I've already said, I can't define it, but there's something about what I think of as authority of the writer and the sound of the prose, and it doesn't matter what the style is so much as that sense that you're in the hands of a master, and that's important to me. So, and going back to this notion of advice to writers, one of the things is to learn how to read that way, and the other thing is to write without hopes of success. Just keep writing. When I taught graduate students, I had any number of students who had talent, but there was a scarcity of talent for work, and most people quit before they get good enough because it's so difficult.
Talk about that a little bit. Is it because there's been so many rejections, so many disappointments? You must have had a lot of rejection before you first got published at the age of 41.
Oh, yeah. I had
tons of rejection.
Lots of rejections. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And so you're saying that there are people who are very talented, they get so much rejection, and then they begin to take it too literally, and then they just cease.
There's all of that, but there's also the problem of trying to make a living while you're trying to learn your craft. It's one of those things, unlike plumbing, for example, that you have to learn to do without being paid to serve your apprenticeship, to be a journeyman. And you have to work at it and find some other way to support yourself and family, too, if you have one. So there's that, and your families don't want you to write because it takes you away from them, and often writers or people who are trying to write are abstracted. They're not there, you know, in some ways. But
so you're dealing with publishers who reject you, your families who reject you if you don't spend enough time with them.
Right.
So you're living in a sea of rejection.
Well, you are.
And then you've got to try and figure out how you can keep your talent going and make a living at the same time.
That's right, all of that. And so you better be absolutely determined to write it. It almost has to be your religion. It is my religion in some sense. And unless you feel that strongly about it, there are so many other things that are easier to do than writing that you might as well do those things. And so that's why so many people do quit, because it's so difficult. And they, as I've already said, they quit before they get good enough to publish anything that somebody wants to buy.
We have many writers who come into our studio, and some of them say that the story is the most important thing. Is that true?
Well,
there are some writers who are very pretty writers, but there isn't a story.
Yeah. Well, I'm suspicious of gorgeous writing for its own sake. That sounds to me like the ego of a writer. In my view, everything...
Who are some of the gorgeous writers for their own sake? Any names come to mind?
I won't say. I will say who is a gorgeous writer who writes in gorgeously in the service of his story. That's somebody like James Agee. If you know Let Us Now Praise Famous Men or Death in a Family, that's some of the most beautiful prose in English. And yet what he does there, he has such a lyrical bent that it does serve his story. But for people who don't have that, everything should be in the service of the story, even if it's less lyrical than that. That's, I think, my position. I wish I had a lyrical bent. I don't think I do. But I am very determined to make sure that what I do put on the page advances the story in some fashion.
My guest is Kent Haroff. His new book is Eventide. He's going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30, but you better get there at 6:30 because they're expecting a huge crowd, and they're giving out tickets, and they only do that when they have superstars. I'm Enid Goldstein. More as we continue. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Bugging just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street, and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors. Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo. Call now for tickets. Your ticket price includes dinner. This unique show is running only for a short time, so don't miss your chance. Call 303-297-9600.
Windows. Doesn't it seem like everybody's in the window business these days? At Alpine Window and Door, they believe you deserve quality, value, and experience in your remodeling project. Alpine Window and Door has been serving the Denver area for nearly a quarter century, offering a large selection of fine vinyl and wood products by Weathershield, Anderson, Pella, Traco, and Therma-True. With so many choices, rely on Alpine's experienced staff to help you make the correct one. The Alpine Window and Door staff takes a sincere interest in your project, whether it's a standard window replacement or a complete redesign to create a whole new look. At Alpine Window and Door, their remodeling specialists are with you from the beginning to the end of your project. If you want for true value, quality, and experience from an established, proven company, call Alpine Window & Door at 303-431-1000. That's 431-1000. Or visit their convenient showrooms in Wheat Ridge or Highlands Ranch and speak with one of their experts. You'll be looking through windows a whole new way after you visit Alpine Window & Door.
Sight of the giant medved Autoplex. I went inside and I made a great deal. Now I'm revving up the motor on my new set of wheels. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, a vroom, vroom. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, to medved. Vroom, vroom, a vroom, vroom. Let's go. Vroom, vroom, to medved.
MedVet Chrysler Jeep has discounts up to $6,500. Plus, 0% financing is available with approved credit. With Wranglers, Liberties, PT Cruisers, and the all-new Chrysler 300, MedVet's got the vroom at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
KNRC presents Bill Maher at the Paramount Theater Saturday, June 12th.
I will give George Bush credit for this. He is working a lot harder than he thought he'd have to.
For tickets, visit HOB.com.
You know what? You got to get over that. Al Gore lost that election all by himself by maintaining his pledge to end charisma as we know it.
Or call 303-830-8497.
Seriously, the Republicans did not steal that election. It did fall off a truck.
Bill Maher at the Paramount, June 12th. Brought to you by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. A very quiet day of light trading on Wall Street. Very little movement for the major averages. Get this, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 0.07. That was it. It closed the day at 99.37, while the NASDAQ lost a point and a half at 18.96. The market had been higher until noontime when a report from the Philadelphia Federal Reserve showed that factory expansion in the Mid-Atlantic region had slowed somewhat. But it did say that future prospects for that sector do remain bright, and by then the damage had been done. And the Conference Board said that its leading indicators report showed rising energy prices and upcoming interest rate hikes are not dampening the economic revival 3 to 6 months down the road. The founder and CEO of Strong Financial Corp has been banned for life from the financial services industry. Richard Strong will pay a $60 million fine. He will leave the industry, and his company will pay a fine of $80 million as well. The Dow down 0.07 today. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
Introducing new Nestle Coffee Mate Half and Half in a new easy pour container. That's quite enough, Cal. Thank you. So try new Coffee Mate Half and Half in utterly delicious hazelnut, new vanilla, and of course, original. Not moo, new. New Coffee Mate Half and Half. It's all the rich flavor you expect from coffee's perfect mate in a real dairy creamer. Look for the package in the refrigerator section. Good job.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I want to get tall when I grow up. Tall enough to hug Enid Goldstein, because my grandpa says she's high.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:31 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And just a couple of programming notes. I'm going to be on Channel 12 Saturday night at 10 and Sunday night at 11. So if you're around tomorrow, our guest in studio, Ron Chernow, National Book Award-winning author and historian. His new biography of Alexander Hamilton, now number 5. On the New York Times bestseller list next week, NPR host, former NPR host, well, I think he's still doing some stuff for them, Bob Edwards, who has just done a new book on Edward R. Murrow, although the truth is I don't know why we need another one. There was a really thick volume, I think, by Sally Bedell Smith a few years ago that pretty much detailed his life, but he's going to be with us live in studio, Edward R. Murrow and the Birth of Broadcast Journalism. With us live in studio is Kent Hariff. He follows up his bestseller, Plain Song, with a new book, Eventide. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. They're expecting a huge crowd, so they want you there by 6:30, and they will give out one ticket per person in line. It should be a wonderful evening. The book has gotten a lot of good it's gotten a lot of good reviews, although we're sitting on pins and needles because Michiko Kakutani, who Annie Lamott calls Michiko, is going to review it in the Tuesday's New York Times.
Next Tuesday.
She usually likes the first book, but not always the second one.
That's her tendency.
That's her MO.
To pan the second book.
Uh-oh.
We'll see what happens.
But you know what? Publicity is publicity. Just that they've already reviewed it for the, haven't they reviewed it in the weekly? Have they reviewed?
Publishers Weekly, you mean?
No, the New York Times.
That'll be in this Sunday.
This Sunday, okay. So you're getting two reviews. You're getting the Daily and the Weekly.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Well, the Sunday review I know is, I've already seen it. It's not one that I'm very pleased with.
Who did the review?
A guy named Jonathan Miles. He's a kind of a...
Snotty,
smart-ass little kid.
Snotty little bastard.
Yeah. I guess I can say that.
Yeah, I guess you can. Well, the FCC will be knocking on the door here in a minute.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, since you have taught writing. I sort of like to think I'm a writer, although I don't do much of it, and I don't have much time. What I do for a living is to amp it out. Mm. What you need as a writer, or what I need as a writer, is to be very interior and to have the time to do that. And it takes me a while to get there. And then if I start to have to amp it out the next day at work, then it's, you know, and that, so it's hard to be able to find that place in which you can write. What advice, Kent Hariff, author of Eventide, successor to Plain Song, would you give to somebody like moi?
Well, that's a big question. You sound to me like you could write very easily. You seem so articulate, but...
I think you have to have a story.
Pardon me?
I think you have to have a story.
Well, that,
I don't know that I have a story.
Part of it.
I think I find things as I write them, but I don't know that I always know them going in.
Yeah.
I marvel at mystery writers, for example, who seem to have it all plotted out.
Well, I'm not a mystery writer, but I do plot my stories out before I ever begin them. I know the ending of every story I write before I begin it.
So you know the story.
I do know the story.
You might have surprises in how you get somewhere, but you know pretty much where you're going.
I do know. I've made notes to myself. Sketchy little notes, but I know what's in every scene before I get there. And the surprises have to do with the invention of minor characters and finding the details to use in those individual scenes.
What do you think of authors like Alice Walker, who said she was unable to write The Color Purple? And she had, where she was living previously, which I think was on the East Coast, her characters just refused to come to her. And she had to finally find a place, and it wound up being on the West Coast, where her characters would visit her. Does that sound a little highfalutin, or is it everybody's got their own way of doing it?
Both of those things, I guess. I've read that Alice Walker said that, and that's a book I do like and admire a great deal. But I don't doubt that that's what she felt happened in regard to the writing of that masterful book. But that's not been my experience. My experience is that I will be aware of some emotion that I feel intensely and may have to do with almost anything. And somehow that emotion begins to attach itself or coalesce around some character that comes to my mind that I imagine. And then I brood over that for a year and I begin to make character sketches and write little passages of dialogue and make notes to myself how the story goes. But the characters are first, and then out of the problems that these characters have, then the plot or storyline comes from that.
So for you, the process starts with a lot of emotion that coalesces around the character. You sort of study that character. He or she comes to you at various, and you make notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of the essence of the character comes the essence of the story.
Yeah, it does. And of course, novels are about trouble or about problems. And each one of these characters has some particular problem that he or she has to, if not resolve, at least to contend with. And that process becomes the story, how this character deals with or resolves the problem that he or she has. And then the next part of that for me is to try to write in a way that seems compelling and vivid and so on. So prose, the prose itself, the style, comes after those other two parts of it.
So your advice to somebody like me would be?
Would be to, well, I would trust your emotions and believe that what you felt and is worth writing about. And I don't know that this...
The trouble is I can deal with my emotions on the radio. If I'm exercised about what's happening politically, instead of taking it and turning it into fiction.
You might have to silence yourself.
I might. Uh-oh.
You have to go mute.
Oh, no.
And then you might be so pent up that you couldn't help yourself but write.
But write.
Yeah. I don't know if that's so or not. But well, of course, we were talking about Alice Walker, but if you think about Maya Angelou, she was mute for 10 years as a child because of the sexual abuse she underwent by a family member.
That's right. She could not speak. She
could not speak. And I have to believe that that kind of experience had something to do with her becoming a writer. And, of course, if you want to...
And she has a golden voice. She also has been a director and an actor and a poet.
Yeah, she is... That voice that she has control of is absolutely wonderful. I heard her read one time, and she began the reading by actually singing. She came out on stage, didn't say a word, and simply began to sing. And then to read, and then to discuss what she wanted to talk about. But she was spellbinding. I mean... Everybody was in her hands at that point, and she does have that wonderful voice. But I do believe that writers like Alice Munro, or Alice Munro too, for that matter.
Well, she's an interesting writer.
She's a terrific writer.
Canadian.
Yeah, Alice, yeah, exactly. Wonderful short story writer.
You see her sometimes in The New Yorker.
Yeah.
A lot of good short stories. Yeah. If I were to ask you who you like.
Well, she's one of them.
Who else?
You mentioned, you and I were talking about Richard Ford. He's a writer that I admire, particularly that short story collection, Rock Springs. And the Native American writer, James Welch, who died about a year and a half ago, his first novel, Winter in the Blood, I think is a masterpiece of American literature. It's a book that was very important to me. And I did write a blurb for his last novel before he died, but my main purpose was to draw attention to his writing, and especially to that first book. The Mississippi writer Larry Brown is someone I like a great deal. The Wyoming writer Mark Sprague, who has a book coming out later this summer from Knopf. Who else? Of course, people like Flannery O'Connor and Eudora Welty and Faulkner and Hemingway. They've all been very important to me, but those others are the contemporary writers.
Kent Haroff, thank you so much for joining us today. The book is Eventide. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek at 7:30, but get there by 6:30 because they expect a big crowd, and they'll be handing out tickets one per person. Thank you so much.
Enid, thank you very much.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
2:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Cloudy and 72 now. A bizarre incident at Coors Field has resulted in a homicide investigation. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
U.S. Highway 285 remains closed a mile south of Bailey at this hour. Reported service of the Rocky Mountain News. The reason is a gasoline tanker truck rolled over and exploded about an hour and 20 minutes ago. Fire is still burning. Apparently, the truck rolled very close to the Platte River, so the Denver Water Board authorities are keeping an eye on the water situation there. Absolutely no idea when that highway will reopen, and Colorado Highway 54 is the best alternate route around that situation. Today's daily deal is all-you-can-eat giant snow crab or Dungeness crab every Tuesday at the Fresh Fish Company. Look for it on page 2 of today's Rocky Mountain News. Start your day with the daily deal. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
On April 28th, a 69-year-old Centennial woman was pricked with an unknown object while at Coors Field. She reported the incident to police and several days later developed an infection from the wound. The woman died last week. Now police say regardless of whether the incident was on purpose, they're investigating the woman's death as a homicide. This report brought to you by Time Warner Book Group. Denver teachers upset with a second year of no pay raises turned out for a protest today prior to the Denver School Board meeting. Many teachers around the state say they're upset with what they call unfair contract proposals. Five people are under arrest in Larimer County facing charges of forgery and counterfeiting. Larimer County Sheriff's deputies arrested two of the suspects after they allegedly tried to pass a fake $20 bill at a Fort Collins Burger King. Deputies later arrested the other three suspects, all being held without bail, facing several felony charges. How safe is your money? Let Rich Dad show you how to protect your money and achieve higher returns. Read Rich Dad's Who Took My Money by best-selling author Robert Kiyosaki, now in paperback from Warner Books. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:41.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live on Saturday mornings. Colorado Mills aficionados like us know how to navigate Colorado Mills Mall. Here's our tips.
When shopping for high style at low prices, we park by Neiman Marcus Last Call and enter door 2. From there, we cover the whole fashion district.
On the days I'm schlepping my teenagers, I park by Eddie Bauer, enter door 4, and shop at V Generation and 303 Boards.
When Mr. Style Matters needs a treat, I park at Borders. Enter door 1 and shop at Perry Ellis, St. Croix, and Brooks Brothers factory stores.
With our families, we park by Jillian's, a huge entertainment center and restaurant, wander down the street and dine at California Pizza Kitchen or Yard House, then catch a movie at United Artists Theaters or watch the kids at ESPN Skate Park.
Colorado Mills is easy to get to. Just 15 minutes from downtown off 6th and Indiana.
Or 25 minutes from the south on C-470 and 20 minutes from the foothills on I-70.
Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals.
Colorado Mills, where great shopping lives.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, partly cloudy with a continuing chance of some thunderstorms this afternoon, mostly cloudy tonight, chance of thunderstorms, becoming partly cloudy after midnight, upper 40s for the overnight temperature, partly cloudy, some afternoon thunderstorms possible tomorrow with a high in the low 80s. Right now, cloudy and 72, KNRC news time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:44 on Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Ron Chernow, who has won the National Book Award, the highest of the high writing awards, and his new biography of Alexander Hamilton, number 5 on the bestseller list. He'll be live with us in studio. If you're just tuning in, you missed Kent Hariff, but you can meet him tonight at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek, 7:30. You've got to be there by 6:30 because he draws huge crowds, and they're going to be giving out tickets, one per person, and the book has gotten a lot of positive acclaim. So it's a sequel to the bestseller preceding it, Plain Song, about a family, a whole life, and it's all set in the fictional community of Holt, Colorado, and he has come back to live in Colorado. So I think you're going to have a wonderful evening tonight if you go, and he's got a great presence, a really wonderful presence, and so knowledgeable about writing and literature. You will have a great treat. And that's what's so wonderful about going to readings. They're free. and you get all this wisdom, and you don't have to even buy the book, although I'm sure Tedder Cover would prefer that you bought the book, but you don't have to do it, and you have an evening of wonderful entertainment, good stuff for the soul, first-class stuff. Also, I just want to let you know I'll be on Channel 12 Saturday night at 10, Sunday night at 11. And entertainer Paul Williams is going to speak at Soar High School's annual auction and fundraiser, and that's on Sunday, 4:30 to 9:30. Call 720-887-9033 for tickets. The money goes to support Soar High School, which is the only high school in Colorado that benefits, it's the only sobriety and recovery high school, and so the money benefits that high school. Well, the Borowitz Report. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking a lot about politics. We've been talking about my particular fear because, and I have friends, and you may have friends too, who are actual Republicans, card-carrying actual Republicans. Don't ask me why they're friends, but they are. And some of them are not, cannot bring themselves to vote for Bush, but also cannot bring themselves to vote for Kerry. And so they're going to sit it out, at least right now. Now, this could change as the energy moves, you know, as the tipping point happens, as Malcolm Gladwell might say. It could move really big time for Kerry, or who knows, maybe it could move big time for Dickey, although I hope not. So I want to know what's going to take to get you off the fence, to get, I don't think it's anything logical, really. You have heard people call in conservatives who get all their information from Mr. OxyContin at Walmart there, or his wannabe, you know, cohorts. And there's no way you can talk them out of it. I don't know what has to happen. It's just like, how do you fall out of love with somebody? That really is that would be the thing. When you finally can't not look at something, when you finally can't sweep it under the rug, that's, I think, finally when you're willing to look at what's going on. All right, the Borowitz Report. Massive oil reserves found inside Dick Cheney. Bush vows to liberate the vice president. Enormous reserves of petroleum rivaling those found in such oil-rich nations as Saudi Arabia and Djibouti have been discovered inside Vice President Dick Cheney, the White House confirmed today. Doctors at Walter Reed Hospital made the discovery of the massive reserves during a routine physical exam Wednesday, sending the price of crude tumbling by $8 a barrel. The discovery of bountiful petroleum reserves in Mr. Cheney's body could not come at a better time for the U.S., which had been facing the specter of soaring gas prices during the Memorial Day weekend. The White House, which had been reluctant to tap the nation's strategic petroleum reserves to ease the staggering price rise, seemed more amenable to exploiting the massive reserves inside Vice President Cheney. The time has come for a coalition of the willing to liberate Dick Cheney, President Bush said from the Rose Garden today. If Dick Cheney becomes democratic and free, democracy and freedom will spread to vice presidents everywhere around the world. But even as President Bush told reporters he was considering exploratory drilling in the southern region of oil-rich Cheney, the vice president used an official statement to suggest he would balk at any proposal to insert an oil spigot into his body. "You can't drill me if you can't find me," the statement read. In other news, Alan Greenspan accepted the president's nomination to serve another term as chairman of the Federal Reserve, which would extend his streak of 15 years without forming a coherent sentence. The Borowitz Report. 303-382-1150. We're also talking about really three stories that I thought had in common the same thread of corruption. Whether it's the scathing report about CU and how the administration handled the recruiting problems there, and the regents just acting like Larry, Moe, and Curly, and acting like cheerleaders, like there's nothing wrong, full confidence in everybody, or you have the Catholic Church telling you how you're supposed to vote, you can only vote for candidates that support this and not that, or you have a government that doesn't want to tell you the truth about anything, least of all some of these abuses going on in prisons in Iraq, some of which have resulted in the death, asphyxiation of some very high-level and presumably high-value targets. One, a major general in the Iraqi Air Force, I believe, who voluntarily turned himself in only to die of asphyxiation as a result of it. Nobody wants to tell you the truth. All of them are being dishonest in one way or another. And what they all are is corrupted. And what we try to be here is not corrupted. We try. We hope we'll be able to be as successful at that as we try. You know, But there it is, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150, and 61% of Americans do not know the words to the Star Spangled Banner. So Laura is going to take that on as a project, Laura Bush. Steve in Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
I think that there's at least three reasons why Trey's going to have a hard time helping himself with the polls, the down polls of Bush. And the three reasons are that liberals have a hard time winning elections, and you can point to McGovern, Carter, Mondale, and Dukakis for that.
What about Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton was a centrist.
You said liberals have a hard time winning elections. That's not true. The liberals have sometimes not at all had a hard time winning elections. Are you talking only presidential elections?
Presidential elections. Yes, I'm sorry.
All right. So tell me what your larger point is.
Okay. The second point is that Kerry also has a problem with the Catholic religion. He calls himself a Catholic, but he's pro-abortion. That's a problem because
there are many Catholics who are pro-abortion.
Yes, but there's also many who are not.
Yes.
And he's going to lose the voters or not. The third thing is his post-Vietnam statements. He said that he was involved in rape, genocide, mutilations, burning of villages, and killings. Now, the problem he has with that is that if he was involved with that, he's a war criminal.
I don't know that he said he was involved with it, or whether whether he said he saw it.
Saw it or involved with it?
Well, no, those are very, seeing it and being involved with it are very different. But let me ask you again, Steve. He served and he got medals, and Dickey ran away and was a coward. Now, I don't see how you can compare the two of those, their behaviors.
Well, let me get to this. Let me get on Kerry first. He has only three ways he can go about this. If he participated in that, he's a war criminal. If he saw it and did nothing, he's a war criminal.
He came back.
He was an officer.
He came back and he testified, and now everybody's trying to diss him for coming back and testifying against what he saw.
I don't see how that can turn out good for him. The third thing that can happen with this is that if he did not see this stuff and he lied about it, then he's a traitor.
Steve, why are you concentrating on what he said when he came back, if he did this, if you had a brother, would he like cheese, of something that happened 35, 40 years ago when he actually served, and there's no question he was brave. He got about 5 medals for his bravery, and Dickey never even went, and you don't even want to go there to Dickey, who was a coward and too cowardly even to show up for his National Guard service. So why aren't I hearing you talk about that?
What you're hearing me talk about is the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, but why?
Kerry is going to lose votes because of his bank.
Well, everybody's going to lose votes for this reason or that reason, but I don't hear you talk, and I don't hear conservative Republicans talking about Dickey, who was too much of a coward to go himself, but a big man, you know, just like short guys try to macho themselves out as big man, he's going to send your loved ones into battle, into a war that we really don't have to fight. That is completely irrelevant, that is draining us of lives and money and resources and really keeping our eyeballs off of the real war on terrorism, and is only exacerbating terrorism, acting as a magnet for it, and bringing it on as he asked them to do. That's the question I have, and thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Deep Rock bottled water is a great way to keep clean, pure water right at your fingertips. Order online at deeprockwater.org or call 303-292-2020.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett for McDonald Automotive Group. You know, if there's anything people want these days, it's choice. And if you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, you owe yourself a visit to McDonald Automotive Group on Broadway. Here you can find rows upon rows of Volvos, Audis, Volkswagens. In short, the region's largest selection of vehicles from some of the highest-rated pre-owned programs in the country. And that's not just their opinion, or my opinion. That is the independent opinion of IntelliChoice, which evaluates manufactured, sponsored, certified used vehicle programs. on things like warranty coverage, special financing, and even roadside assistance. So there you have it, the largest selection of pre-owned Volvos, Audis, and Volkswagens. Why would you go anywhere else, especially if you're in the market for that certified pre-owned vehicle? Stop by McDonald Automotive Group today on Broadway, just south of Orchard. That's 6000 South Broadway. The phone number 303-795-1100. 303-795-1100.
In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors.
Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks.
Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo.
Call now for tickets. Your ticket price includes dinner. This unique show is running only for a short time, so don't miss your chance. Call 303-297-9600.
Meet Jim and Bob.
Hello.
Hey there.
Before his family's big holiday weekend, Jim bought a new set of tires.
Yes, sir.
So did Bob.
That's right.
But Bob's were installed by a certified technician.
Certified?
At 5 in the evening.
5 o'clock?
On Sunday.
They're open on Sunday?
That's because Bob went to Sears Auto Center.
I should have gone there.
For tires, batteries, oil changes, shocks, and more, head to Sears Auto Center.
Hurry in now through May 27th, just in time for Memorial Day, and save on all Goodyear tires. Sears, good life, great price.
Are you an advocate for social justice? Boulder County Safe House offers its tri-annual volunteer training, providing a comprehensive overview of violence against women, crisis intervention skills, anti-racism and anti-oppression training, and information on how to use positive personal action to end the social problem of violence against women. Spring training begins Saturday, June 5th. For more information, call 303-415-3749 or visit www.bouldercountysafehouse.org.
Welcome, listeners of KOA, KHOW, and KNUS. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
You said you wanted a fun, entertaining talk station. Here it is.
Here it is.
Our talk hosts welcome opposing views. They aren't old and angry, and they love Denver just like you. A positive talk radio station. Jimmy Lakey, Enid Goldstein, and Doug Kellett, along with famous national hosts like Bill O'Reilly, Michael Reagan, Lionel, and Alan Colmes. A great weekday talk lineup, exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC.
Yo, my name's Rick, and I'm a grocery bagging technician. Jimmy Lakey and I, we used to roll together in my 71 Camaro. Then he got all into being a radio celebrity and didn't have the time for regular folks.
You remember when I shaved off your eyebrows, Lakey?
I wasn't sorry.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:59, just a few seconds left. Ooh, son of U.S. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist busted for alleged drunk driving. Uh-oh. I have a lot of people I want to thank. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for producing a fine show today. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for keeping us on the air. Thank you, Travis Guest, for helping us out today. We appreciate all of your efforts, those of you who called, those of you who listened. Stay tuned. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And let's do it again tomorrow. We're going to have Ron Chernow on. We'll be talking about Alexander Hamilton and all the latest news. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Tomorrow, noon to 3, do something generous, will you? And I'll see you for lunch.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the White House. President Bush making it clear he expects more violence in Iraq both before and after the transfer of power to Iraqis. And he told Republicans in Congress he's still determined to see that transfer take place at the end of next month. His record on Iraq brought some strong comments today from the top House Democrat. California's Nancy Pelosi.
I believe that the president's leadership in the actions taken in Iraq demonstrate an incompetence in terms of knowledge, judgment, and experience in making the decisions that would have been necessary to truly accomplish the mission without the deaths to our troops and the cost to our taxpayers.
Their marriages might not be legal. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is asking the state attorney general to look at a handful of cases of out-of-state gay couples who got marriage licenses this week. Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
Seasonal allergies are in full bloom, Ragweed.
A great time to make them suffer, Pollen.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects are low and may include headache, cold, or backache.
Long